plasters, paints, tiles, and more. Drop by and say Deborah sent you. And remember, tomorrow really does matter. Please tell a friend. Stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News. Thank you for giving me part of your day. Have a great rest of the day, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The money isn't free, but it is unexpected. Economic stimulus from the federal government, as currently planned, will send checks of $300 to $1,200 per household, designed, says CBS's Bob Fuss, to send us out to buy things and keep the economic engine cooking.
This agreement is a big win for the American people.
House Republican leader John Boehner, who helped negotiate the package, which includes quicker write-offs for business to expand and checks to an estimated 117 million lower and middle income families. Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson says the average couple will start out with $1,200.
Everyone who gets one of those checks and has a child will get another check, $300 for each child.
Money he hopes they'll spend to help give the economy the boost everyone is looking for.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House. How long before you get your rebate check? It depends on when Congress enacts the plan into law. Then we're told it'll take the government about 60 days to begin making payments. Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson figures it'll take up to 10 weeks after that for most of the rebates to be in the hands of 117 million taxpayers.
The $150 billion stimulus represents about 1% of GDP. The field of Democrats who want to be president has shrunk itself by one. Dennis Kucinich has dropped out, says he has no plans to endorse anyone. The Republican candidates debate tonight at Florida Atlantic University. CBS's Peter King is there. Peter?
Well, this debate is vital for all five men, Harley, so what might we see that's different tonight?
I believe that you're going to see these candidates really desperately trying to appear statesmanlike.
In contrast to the food fight at the Democratic debate Monday, University of South Florida Politics Professor Susan McManus says it's a tough job.
Appear above the fray, but at the same time, get one last sales pitch in to the voters of Florida who don't quite know for sure who they're going to vote for.
That debate starts in just under 3 hours, Harley.
Actor Heath Ledger will be buried at home in Australia. His family is coming to New York to get him.
Heath Ledger's body has been moved to a Manhattan funeral home, and a spokesperson at the funeral home told CBS News that the family, Ledger's family, wanted to keep all funeral arrangements private.
At CBS's Kelly Wallace. California's highest court has ruled an employee can be fired for using the wrong medicine if the medicine is marijuana.
The court holds in place the narrow scope of California's medical marijuana laws. The court ruled that a marijuana smoker cannot use that special status under the state's law to protect himself from being fired if an employer wants to drug test to ensure a drug-free workplace.
CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen says that's because using pot is illegal under federal law. It isn't Hershey's fault that an illegal street drug looks like one of their candies, but they're going to lose money over it because they have decided that they won't make any more icebreaker packs, deciding they'd rather take the loss than provide cover for drug pushers. Wall Street, the Dow, up 108 points today. NASDAQ gained 44. This is CBS News.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Are you still running on last year's technology? Then hurry into Office Depot for great deals on the latest tech products. Office Depot has a wide assortment of printers, and this week get a $75 mail-in savings on HP printers, $199.99 or more. And to bring your camera into the digital age, save 15% instantly on Canon and Sony cameras, $199.99 or more. Office Depot, taking care of business and all your technology needs. Excludes discontinued bundles and clearance items. Offers expire January 26th.
At Mercedes-Benz, our affordable certified pre-owned vehicles come with the rich legacy of engineering that is Mercedes-Benz. And a 155-point inspection, roadside assistance, and a one-year warranty up to 100,000 miles. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz retains its integrity because, as a company, we have ours. Stop by your local authorized dealer and ask about the certified pre-owned program by Mercedes-Benz.
See dealer for complete details and warranty and roadside assistance. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles.
The New Orleans Jazz Fest is taking shape.
Organizers of the annual New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival are delivering Stevie Wonder along with Billy Joel.
Sing us a song, you're the piano man. Sing us a song.
Other headliners include Jimmy Buffett, Tim McGraw, Santana, Robert Plant, and Sheryl Crow.
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
The fest starts April 25th and is a full 7 days for the first time since Katrina. Dave Cohen for CBS News, New Orleans.
You buy entirely natural foods, going organic, you can expect to encounter some entirely natural and organic things. Like the Brooklyn woman who found a tiny little frog. She said no bigger than the tip of her pinky finger nestled in the leaves of a head of lettuce. Frogs will do that. In a natural world, it's a good thing because frogs eliminate bugs, and animal rescue facilities looking for someone to adopt it. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your tires.
We, your tires, have a list of demands.
A list of demands?
Yes, we demand that you take us to a Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer.
Well, I always go to a Ford or Lincoln.
At once. No appointment is necessary.
All right.
We further demand that once at the Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer, Ford trained service experts inspect us, check our inflation, and rotate us.
Hey, don't Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealers have a tire price guarantee?
Possibly.
Sure, they'll beat anyone's price on the name brand tires they sell, right?
Look, never mind that.
So, if I need to replace you...
Whoa. Replace?
I could do it right there at a great price. Excellent. Okay, back to your demands.
Well, it was really more of a suggestion than a demand.
Thought so.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service, only at your dealership. Come in, keep going. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see a participating dealership for details through 12/31/08.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. We are not live from the left coast today. We have to correct our pronouncer. We are deep inside the Beltway, just a few blocks from the White House in Washington, D.C., at the historic Mayflower Hotel. We are here for the Health Action 2008 conference, sponsored by the group Families USA, pushing for health care expansion in this country, and there's a lot of work to do. It's an exciting conference. Speaker Pelosi keynoted the event earlier today, and also Senator Ken Salazar of Colorado spoke to the group. Stephanie Tubbs Jones, Congresswoman from Ohio, was here earlier today. And on our program this evening, it is evening in Washington. I know you're enjoying afternoon on the West Coast. Coming up a little bit later, the Executive Director, Ron Pollack of Families USA, will be with us in about 20 minutes. We're also going to talk with Senator Debbie Stabenow of Michigan, who will be with us here live at the Mayflower Hotel. And later on, we're going to hear from a bunch of healthcare experts, some from California, some from other parts of the country. And Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee will be with us in our third hour today. We're also going to present what I think is a great interview, which we recorded earlier today, with the Frost family of Baltimore. And scratch your head a little bit, go back to September, October, when the Children's Health Insurance Bill was working its way through the House and the Senate. And Families USA brought attention to the Frost family because they have two preteen children who qualify for this federal health insurance program. And because of it, their lives were saved and probably improved. There was a serious car accident in the family, and a son and daughter were seriously injured. One of those kids, Graham, a son, was tapped to give the Democratic response to the president's radio address. And he took on the president today in his own words, criticizing him for the double veto of the so-called S-CHIP bill. So that'll conclude our program. Stay tuned for that in the third hour today. Now, we are wired in using high-tech devices from Washington, and that means you can call in as usual and participate in the program. Our toll-free number works as usual. That's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. A little sketchy on email. You can send one, and I'll probably see it after the show. We're actually hooking up a second computer here to try to get online right now. My first guest is the vice chair of the Democratic National Committee, and she has worked hard on women's issues in the Democratic Party for many years. Susie Turnbull returns to our show. Hello, Susie.
Hi, Peter. Great to be with you.
Well, it's great to be with you, and the detailed biographical information indicates that you now have a son living in San Francisco.
Actually, that's a little out of date. He was in San Francisco for a couple of years. He worked for Mercy Housing, and he's moved back to the Washington area.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, it's fresh enough.
But he was there.
Now, it also says, and this is the first time I knew about this, that you worked in urban planning and you are the principal of interior space planning. And does that mean that your position at the DNC is volunteer, or are you a staff person?
I am a volunteer.
You're a world-class volunteer.
I'm a volunteer lay leader. I am someone who was elected to my position by the members of the DNC, but it is a volunteer position.
Well, then, A, I'll thank you for your service, and B, I'll apologize in advance for any bruises that you get in this role.
It's been a long day, Peter.
Yeah.
It's been a long day. But, in fact, being here with so many of the talk show hosts from across the country, it is clear and easy for me to say, you notice the Democrats are here.
Mm-hmm.
One of my colleagues, Lottie Shackelford, another vice chair of the Democratic National Committee, was here today earlier. And the two of us are here basically saying, let's look. You want to compare? We'll be happy to compare. We'll be happy to compare our Democrats and all of our Democratic candidates who are supporting the state children's health insurance program and being on the side of 80% of the American public.
Mm-hmm.
We'll compare that with all of the Republican candidates who have said publicly that they would have vetoed the bill as well.
Now, Graham Frost comments notwithstanding, why is it that Bush can veto this bill, which, you know, costs a few billion dollars, but as Speaker Pelosi mentioned this morning, to expand this program is the equivalent of 2 weeks spending on Iraq. And this is a president who continues to demand and unfortunately get blank checks from the Congress for his war and occupation. But when it comes to a critical domestic program like this, all of a sudden he's a fiscal conservative, a cheapskate, and a Grinch, in my view. But he appears to be getting away with it. There isn't a huge backlash, even from members of his own party who support the state children's health insurance program.
42 members of the Republican Party crossed party lines, voted with the Democrats on this bill. Three and voted to override the veto. What was required was two-thirds. That's been our problem. Our problem is the two-thirds. In the House, it's the two-thirds to override a veto. In the Senate, it's 60 votes to avoid a filibuster.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been the problem all year, which is why if people want change, they need to make sure that not only we have a Democratic president who won't veto measures like this, which is unconscionable,
mm-hmm.
2 weeks in Iraq versus 10 million children. I don't know. I'm sitting here looking at you going, I'd put this on a scale, and I know how I'd come out, and
mm-hmm.
I think how 80% of the American public would come out.
Well, and I'd trot out Cheney's quote, deficits don't matter.
Right. Right. Deficits don't matter when you're a Republican and you've created the deficits.
Mm-hmm.
When we had a Democratic president, we took deficits and made them into surpluses.
Mm-hmm.
And what this president has done has turned the tables. We all see what's happening in our economy. One of the biggest numbers that I heard today, the most important numbers I heard today, was that 60.6 million American families spend 10% of their income on health care.
Mm-hmm.
That's an enormous, enormous number.
Yeah.
60.6 million families. I remember when I moved to Washington as a young person, my parents said, well, you look at your income and you spend 25% on housing and you work things out.
Oh, Susie, those numbers went out in the 60s.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, 70s. 70s. Now, when I look at what my children earn and what they're spending on housing,
yeah.
It's pretty remarkable. It's not 25%. It's maybe it's 30, 35% in some instances. So then you add in another 10%
mm-hmm.
minimally.
A lot of households in California, it's over 50%.
Right.
And particularly with ARMs, these adjustable mortgages ratcheting up,
yep.
people are really feeling that crunch.
Right, people are feeling that crunch. And so then you add 10% for your health care into that. You've got half of your income is going to just housing and health care.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't even bought food. You haven't tried to fill up a gas tank. You don't have heating. No electric. We're not talking about electricity or power
mm-hmm.
in any way. And you haven't moved anywhere.
Yeah.
The notion that this president has stood in between Americans and health care for children is, as I said, unconscionable.
Yeah. Well, I think it's something the Democrats really need to ratchet up on.
Now, people need to hear it.
Susie Turnbull, I realize that the Democratic National Committee does not set policy, does not select which issues candidates run on.
Correct.
But I'm very concerned because I feel that many candidates responding to the polls and what I consider to be the phony notion that the surge is working are dialing back on Iraq as the defining issue of this campaign. And we're now looking at the stimulus package, the economic problems that we're clearly confronting. And while I'm not diminishing those, I do still believe that Iraq is the defining issue, and I'm afraid that it's going to be kind of pushed into the background. What's your sense?
My sense is the good news is, as Speaker Pelosi demonstrated this morning, we can walk and chew gum at the same time. Basically, and we're not limited to just paying attention to health care, just paying attention to the economy, or just paying attention to the war in Iraq. And I think that we have leaders on each of those issues, and that together we all stand committed to bringing our troops home. We all stand committed to fixing our economy and to providing health care mm-hmm. to all Americans. And I think that that is going to be the policy, the platform that our Democratic candidates are running on right now and will continue to run on.
Susie Turnbull with us, Vice Chair of the Democratic National Committee. Now, is your boss, Howard Dean, has he been called in to a Dr. Phil role between the Obama and Clinton campaigns? Is anybody trying to broker peace there?
I think that the governor is moving ahead and that our party is moving ahead saying what's important. And what's important right now is building a grassroots activity. It's building people, getting people involved in the elections. One of the things that we're really proud of is that in this election cycle so far, we've had Iowa, New Hampshire, and Nevada. And in those instances, record-breaking people have come out to vote. And Governor Dean's goal, my goal, is to make sure that that continues.
Mm-hmm. Are you concerned about the early questions that have been raised about the voting process? We're in a recount in New Hampshire, and the Secretary of State says everything is fine, but the results actually show huge discrepancies, or at least, I don't want to use the word huge, significant, measurable discrepancies between the original count and this recount that is taking place. Yet it appears there's an effort to kind of play down any problems and pacify the public.
Peter, I really don't know the answer to that one. I haven't focused on it as much as I could, and I'll pay attention to that.
Okay, could I ask you to take a look at the blog, bradblog.com.
I know Brad.
Brad has done excellent coverage of this, and they're important questions.
Actually, I get Brad's emails, and I'll take a look at them. I'll look at this. One of the things that I can tell you is that the DNC has a very strong, what we're calling, voter integrity, voter protection program.
Mm-hmm.
We are in the process of working with people out in the field to survey all of our boards of elections across the country. We had a conference with voter protection lawyers to look and see all of the possibilities to make sure that our machines are safe, secure, and viable, and to make sure that any problem that might exist is resolved before any election occurs.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in the process of that survey. As you know, Secretary of State Jennifer Bruner from Ohio
right.
has done tremendous amount of study and has had task force looking at the machines.
Right.
And and the DNC is...
And we're proud of our Secretary of State, Deborah Bowen, in California, who has really turned the page there. And, you know, we're hopeful about the future. But we want the 2008 elections to be credible and transparent. And so far, it's not quite that way. So do look into Brad Logan, and I'd appreciate your reaction to that.
We'll do, Peter.
Susie, thanks for joining us. Always great to see you.
Good to be with
Susie
you.
Susie Turnbull, Vice Chair of the Democratic National Committee. We're going to take a break and return. Ron Pollack, who is the Executive Director of Families USA, will be joining us next. We're live in Washington, D.C. Grab a line if you'd like to talk with us at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More in a moment from Washington on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new
the Carmel Valley
KRXA
Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, Jim Ross, president of National Real Estate Academy, will be hosting the show. Jim and his team had an incredibly successful year in 2007 in a very tough real estate market. Hear why their proven track record of finding cost-effective real estate investments make their investors so successful. That's this Sunday at 10 a.m., Rock Roller Real Estate. For more information, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
KRXA 540 AM is the home of Cal State University Monterey Bay Basketball. Hi, this is Rob Hunt, the voice of the CSUMB Otters, inviting you to join KRXA as we bring you the best of NCAA Division II basketball with the CSUMB Otters.
Midweek matchup at San Francisco State on Wednesday, the 23rd. Then the Otters travel south to entertain UC San Diego. Game time, 7:30 p.m.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're live from Washington, D.C. Families USA is sponsoring Health Action 2008. It's a conference, a collection of people, activists, and people in the healthcare field all across the country. And our guest right now is Ron Pollack, the founding executive director of Families USA. He's been on our show many times over the past year. And one of the things that was really touching, Ron, was to see the Frost family come and receive a special recognition award from Families USA today. And we got to talk with young Graham and his parents. And I'm just so proud of them and the way they put up with the dumpster diving of creatures like Michelle Malkin and Rush Limbaugh. And while the state children's health insurance program remains unpassed, it was again 15 votes short of a veto override in the House yesterday. When I see them, it kind of gives me that sense that we must press on. And as Speaker Pelosi said with determination, she's going to keep bringing that bill up until she gets the additional 15 Republican votes or a new president.
Well, you know, as we get closer to the elections, and this issue comes up over and over again, there are a lot of Republicans who are going to be complaining to the president saying, why are you making me walk the plank on this thing? You know, there were a significant number of Republicans who felt they needed to vote in lockstep with the president. But they're up for re-election, and he's not. And this is clearly an unpopular vote. I think Speaker Pelosi knows that this is a win-win situation for her and her members, because either the Republicans who voted in lockstep with the president change their mind and finally pass this much-needed legislation, or they're going to pay some consequences come November, especially those who have been in tight races.
So, Ron, what are your priorities in addition to keeping the pressure on S-CHIP? Is this a holding pattern year where we wait for the new Congress and hopefully a new president and try to move for major change in 2009? Are there incremental goals that you see might be possible with a Republican president?
We're going to be devoting most of our time building for 2009. This is not going to be a sit-on-your-duff year. If we're going to succeed in passing meaningful health care reform, let's say Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama win the presidency and they make health care reform a top priority, that doesn't mean we accomplish that objective. And we've had so many disappointments in the past. So what we're going to spend this year doing is building an unprecedented coalition, and we're going to try to create a war chest to promote this so that when a president is elected come November, we are prepared to fight this fight. And so that's going to be our top priority. And obviously, we're going to be working hard to try and get S-CHIP passed because there will be votes on it. But most of our time is going to be focused on building for this, what might be a historic opportunity in 2009.
Yeah. Let's take a phone call. Billy in Capitola, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Ron Pollack.
Gentlemen, I can solve your problem for you. You're so right about this legislation. And if you just stop calling it S-CHIP, you know, the Republicans are so much smarter than we are. You know, they call, you know, when they salve our air, they call it the Save the Air Act. If you stop calling it S-CHIP and you call it something like Don't Let American Children Die Unnecessarily Act, or just anything like that, a colorful name that talks about children and sickness, and we would win this easy. You're so right. They don't want to go back. And
how about if we do it?
They can stand up and say, yeah, I didn't pass S-CHIP. But
Billy, how about if children die? Gotcha. How about if we do it for Billy's kids?
No. Come on. Let's be clear about this.
Okay. I'm tight for time here.
Never say it again, Peter. Promise me.
We got your point. Ron, what about this? It is an issue.
Oh, he's absolutely right. We have to talk about children's health coverage, not S-CHIP. S-CHIP could sound like a cow chip or
a V chip, the thing you clean up your TV with,
or something you gamble with in Las Vegas. So, No, we've got to talk about children's health coverage, not S chip.
Ron, thanks for the great work you're doing. Let's look forward to 2009.
Thanks so much for having me on your program.
Ron
again.
Pollack on the Peter B. Collins Show. Senator Stabenow joins us next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Franklin Templeton Investments, providing a unique perspective through the specialized expertise of Franklin Templeton and Mutual Series. Franklin Templeton Investments gained from their perspective. I'm Charles Osgood. A lot of the things we know to be true today will turn out not to be true tomorrow. It's safe to say that because it's what always happens. Our knowledge is based on certain assumptions, and when those assumptions turn out to be false, some of our long-accepted conclusions need to be revised, too. We know, for example, that brave flyers have to fly specially equipped aircraft right through hurricanes to get the data needed for forecasting and emergency preparations on the ground. And we know that hurricanes feed on warm water, so that global warming is likely to increase the number and intensity of Atlantic hurricanes. Ah, but both of these things we thought we knew are being called into question. I'll tell you why after this.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Are you still running on last year's technology? Then hurry into Office Depot for great deals on the latest tech products. Office Depot has a wide assortment of printers, and this week get a $75 mail-in savings on HP printers, $199.99 or more. And to bring your camera into the digital age, save 15% instantly on Canon and Sony cameras, $199.99 or more. Office Depot, taking care of business and all your technology needs. Excludes discontinued bundles and clearance items. Offers expire January 26th.
Are aches and pains still keeping you up? Here's a nice surprise. Advil PM gives you a better night's sleep than Tylenol PM because you'll spend less time lying awake with annoying aches and pains and more time asleep. Get the multi-pain relieving power of Advil plus a non-habit-forming sleep aid to gently ease you into a full night's sleep. So switch from Tylenol PM to Advil PM. Less time lying awake, more time asleep. Use only as directed. Brands are trademarks of the respective owners.
NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, has announced a 3-year program to study the use of unmanned aircraft, like those used by the military in Iraq, to gather the data that allows scientists to learn more about how and why storms spin into hurricanes and change speed and direction. Just as in Iraq, the unmanned planes can fly where it would be too dangerous to send human crews, so that's in the works. As the increased frequency and intensity of hurricanes now because of global warming, new research challenges that. Warmer seas, caused by greenhouse gases and whatever else is causing them, will increase the vertical wind shear, the difference between wind speeds at different altitudes. And we now know that wind shear can tear apart nascent hurricanes. Oceanographer Chenzai Wang, who works for NOAA, and Sang-Ki Lee of the University of Miami studied 150 years of hurricane records and found that when the oceans warm, there has been, if anything, a decline in the number of hurricanes making landfall in the United States. So if man can't prevent hurricanes, maybe global warming can. The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a bite of ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Live.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
In this segment, we're going to compare our San Francisco values with some Michigan values.
All right.
Senator Debbie Stabenow joins us. I've been practicing the ow, ow, ow.
Good.
How are you, Senator?
That's the Michigan accent.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm doing great. And, in fact, I think we have an awful, awful lot of values in common here, like trying to make sure that families can get health care and jobs and protect our earth and stop this war and all kinds of things.
Yeah. Well, it's a pleasure to meet you. And if you don't mind my saying so, I believe that you have been instrumental in helping programs like mine and others get underway, because your husband, Tom Athens, has been very active in incubating progressive talk radio shows, starting with Ed Schultz, Stephanie Miller, and others.
Leslie Marshall now.
Yeah. And I just want to thank you, because I imagine that you and Tom talk about that once in a while and probably have similar ideas.
We do. It has been my feeling, although he's the one that's put it into practice, but I have long believed that it's important that all voices be heard, and for too long, and still in this country.
Yeah, it's only hearing a 9-to-1 ratio.
Yeah, we're hearing way too much from folks that, frankly, don't represent America. They don't represent the majority of people, but they speak loudly, and even when they say things that aren't accurate and aren't the right ideas.
Right. Well, and hatefully, too. Just
Absolutely.
Last week, Rush Limbaugh took a phrase that may have been a careless comment from Senator Clinton when she talked about spade work and turned it into an ugly, racist, sexist, misogynist piece that he thought was really funny.
Right.
Where he used the word spade in a racist context and then, irresistible to him, threw in the term hoe. And there's no accountability for that. The radio stations that run his program, the managers just kind of sit back and laugh and say, oh, we'll make more money. You know, it'll jack up the ratings.
Right.
And at a certain point, we cross lines into hate speech in this country. And when it's done by people on the right, they usually get a free pass.
Well, there's no question about it, which is why I'm so glad you're on the radio. And we need to have, frankly, more voices on the radio. And when I think about this coming election, I mean, the Republicans at this point are basically just hoping that somehow we'll all be divided. They're fanning the flames. Rush Limbaugh every single day, Karl Rove behind there, urging them to blow out of proportion anything that is said, to fan the flames, to try to divide us, the majority of people in this country, because they know that if we're focusing on their record and their ideas and their war, that they will lose.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Senator Debbie Stabenow of Michigan, and I'm still working on the appropriate pronunciation. If you have a question or comment for her, she's with us this segment, so get on the line now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. Senator, I have relatives in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just use one as an example. Uncle Charlie, he's 85. He gets a check every month from Ford's, as he calls it. He worked for the family, in his view.
Mm-hmm.
And he said usually before the check comes, they call him to see if he's still alive and if they really have to send the check. And I use that as an example because I believe that we need to, number one, honor our retirees, their pension, and their health benefits. And we've seen the airlines eviscerate those contracts, those obligations in bankruptcy. And we've seen the decline of manufacturing, particular automotive manufacturing in your state. And I believe that if we move to a single-payer health plan in this country with universal coverage, that is the bailout that Detroit really needs. We don't need to go back to the Chrysler loan of the 80s. We need to prop up and invigorate American manufacturing by taking the load of health and pension benefits as much as we can away from the employer, because they're unloading that anyway and forcing the employees to pick up more and more, if not all, of the cost. You've heard my piece.
Yep.
What's your opinion about what we can do and how important health care is to the future of American industry?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, and health care is really my personal passion. I sit on the finance committee that oversees the health care expenditures. And I'll just give you one example. We in Michigan, if you're in Detroit, you can look across a river and you can see Windsor. You can see Ontario. We see automobile plants being opened in Ontario, right across the river, not because of wages. They have Canadian UAW. The wages are the same. Their environmental standards are actually higher in some cases than ours. It's all health insurance. It's all health care. It's the difference in prices between what we are paying, which is about $1,500 per automobile, and what they are paying there. So we have got to get this. I think we have to get off the back of employers and restructure this whole thing so that everyone's contributing to a system, and it's a universal system. And we've got to stop talking in this country about the health insurance industry. Every other country refers to it as a public service. Mm-hmm. We refer to it as an industry because we have just taken for granted the fact that we have got to accommodate increasing profits at a time when we have close to 50 million people with no health insurance. I mean, this ought to be a right in mm-hmm. the United States, not a privilege.
Now, Senator Stabenow, we are deep in the heart of the opposition here. We're just a block from K Street, where the lobbyists have their offices, and we know they're preparing. They're girding up for another round of warfare. We know
right.
they're going to call
no
it
question.
Socialized medicine. We know that they're going to attack with a Harry and Louise or something like
right.
that.
Right.
How can we galvanize corporate America to isolate the lobbyists and the health insurance companies and some of the big HMOs, because it's in the interests of most of the players in corporate America to do what we're just talking about, to take
Absolutely.
The health care expenses away from them and level the playing field so every American worker has a right to health care that is not linked to the fortunes of their workplace.
Right. This is actually starting. I've been saying now for years to business people, when you get tired of paying the bill, just let me know and get on our side of the table rather than on the same side of the table with the insurance companies and the pharmaceutical companies. There is one area where we are seeing them beginning to do that, and they're actually beginning to do it across the board. But I took on the pharmaceutical industry to close some loopholes, FDA loopholes that they use to keep lower cost medicine off the marketplace.
Right.
And we actually, this last year, won. It was the first significant fight that we have won against the pharmaceutical companies. And it was in part because there was a business coalition that the Detroit automakers were a part of, in fact, GM chairs it, mm-hmm. that got involved and helped us do it.
Mm-hmm.
We had the business community with us because they could see it was in their interest to stop the drug companies from artificially inflating costs. So I think it's beginning.
Mm-hmm.
We're not all the way there yet, but I actually am pretty optimistic given what they are paying right now.
All right, let's take a phone call. Matt in Sacramento, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, live from Washington with Senator Stabenow.
Well, hi. And, oh, thank you for the work you're doing, ma'am. I appreciate it. No, my question is, when I was born in a nonprofit hospital in Colorado. What happened that all of a sudden everything's going profit, including things like our, what is it, only 30% of the extended care nursing homes are not for profit?
Right. Well, you know, this really tracks the philosophy since the Reagan years in particular, but even in the last 7 years, we have seen real changes with the Bush administration and with the Republicans in Congress to try to take our nonprofit systems and move them to for-profit to support their friends, their supporters. Medicare, which is, by the way, universal health insurance. When
yep.
folks say,
single
you know,
payer.
Single
Ugly
payer.
Single payer.
I know.
Communist.
I know. I love it when I hear seniors say, tell the government to get their hands off my Medicare. And I go, Medicare is a government-run program. But my point is that, unfortunately, in the last few years, this has begun to be privatized. And there is something that was put into place through the Republican Congress called Medicare Advantage, which now pays more to private insurance companies if they offer people Medicare than if it is the traditional Medicare program. And it's costing us money. It's really threatening the system. And it reminds me of years ago, remember when Newt Gingrich said we're not going to be able to directly privatize Medicare, so we're going to defund it and let it wither on the vine? Well, that's what they're trying to do right now. They are beginning. They have done that. Now, we have come in, the new Democratic Senate and House, and stopped that. They're not doing that anymore, but they've already put in place some things that have got to be changed because we are seeing more and more of a focus on healthcare industry. Mm-hmm. as opposed to the public service of health care.
Well, it's good for the Frist family.
Right, exactly.
Oh, by the way, I just wanted to say God bless you and you keep it up.
Thank you.
All right, Matt, thank you for the call. Now let's go to Eureka, home of the Redwoods. Dave's on the line. Hello, Dave. Say hello to Senator Stabenow.
Hey, Senator Stabenow. Yes, you do a lot of good. One of the things that I'd like your view on is that as long as this administration is in the White House and running our government, it is all about shifting as much wealth as possible from the poor to the very rich.
Yes.
So health care that would benefit the have-nots is not going to happen under this administration. And I heard something that, Peter, you'd be disappointed to hear, too. Our friend Dennis Kucinich is pulling out.
Yes, he's dropping out tomorrow. He wants to hold on to his House seat, and he has to do that in time to qualify for the Ohio primary.
Yeah, okay.
And that is disappointing. And John Conyers was here today promoting the single-payer bill, 676, I think it is, that he and Kucinich have put forward. So, 676. It is still alive. There are some 80 co-sponsors in the House. So it's still got a ways to go, but I do believe Dennis Kucinich has been very powerful in articulating the need for what he calls a not-for-profit single-payer health care system in this country. Thank you, Dave. And Senator, would you agree with the basic statement that the for-profit, the market delivery of health care in this country has been an utter failure? And we need to recognize that and build a system that does recognize the right of every citizen to basic health care and delivery at a cost that someone can afford.
Well, there's no question that we have got to build a system that works, that cuts down the excessive costs. There are really two models I think we will be debating next year. And it's a question of which we are able to move, and I'm willing to support either depending on which one we can get the votes to move. One is the universal program, the single-payer program that John Conyers is talking about. The other is a proposal that would give everyone the opportunity for the same health care benefits as members of Congress, the federal employees' health system. Now,
right.
That's a little different. It is a cafeteria you can choose among plans, but it would mandate or require that everyone could have insurance at least equal to what a member of Congress has.
Mm-hmm.
So either, I think both of those are very viable, and we need to be focusing on one of those two things.
Yeah. Senator, thank you for your time today. A real pleasure to meet you, and let's talk again.
Absolutely. Keep up the great work.
All right. Thank you. Senator Debbie Stabenow, I got it right, from Michigan. We're going to take a break and return and talk more here at the Families USA Conference in Washington, D.C. So stay tuned for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super green nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
I told our people, get information without torture, and was assured by our Justice Department that we were not torturing.
And you need to know, they hate us because we love freedom.
Well, listen, we've never been stayed the course, George.
And I think it's important in a time of war that to the extent possible, we leave politics out of the major decisions being made.
However, we will not go along with a partisan fishing expedition aimed at honorable public servants. I proposed a reasonable way to avoid an impasse.
Said was the Czech intelligence service reported after 9/11 that Atta had been in Prague on April 9th of 2001, where he allegedly met with an Iraqi intelligence official. We have never been able to confirm that, nor have we been able to knock it down. It's been pretty well confirmed that he did go to Prague and he did meet with a senior official of the Iraqi intelligence service in Czechoslovakia last April.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, live from Washington, D.C. We're on Radio Row at the Mayflower Hotel, the scene of Health Action 2008, a conference presented by Families USA. And you're welcome to join us by phone. The same number works, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We're going to talk about the prospects of health care reform in California during this segment. So if you have a comment or a question specific to that, hey, bring it on. Anthony Wright joins us now, Executive Director for Health Access California. He's got offices in Sacramento and in Oakland. It's a statewide health care consumer advocacy coalition. Just how much of a conspirator are you with Families USA? You on the same page, or you have kind of common goals but separate means?
We're a state-based organization, and so we don't have any official relationship with Families. We certainly work with them on a lot of issues, on budget issues. We sometimes part company with them on some of the strategy and how to get there. But, you know, it's clearly in the context of the debates that we've been having at the federal level with regard to cuts to children's coverage or those types of other issues, we've been on the same page of fighting those cuts and seeking to expand coverage.
Yeah. Anthony, help me out on one thing. We were talking about Arnold Care, the new proposal that's wending its way through the legislature in Sacramento. And I drew a blank because Sheila Kuehl had supported John Burton's SB2.
That's right.
That was his parting shot as he left the state Senate. And as I recall, SB2 passed, and then was it repealed by the governor's help? Or
it's a good place to start, because you mentioned Arnold Care. People have Governor Schwarzenegger started last year saying this was going to be the year of health care reform. And for many of us, we were like, we've been having the year of health care reform for quite some time. In 2003, we passed SB2, which would have expanded coverage to 1 million workers of large companies that don't get health coverage on the job. It was something that John Burton, former Senate President John Burton, passed, was signed by Governor Davis, and then it was put up for a referendum. The basically the fast food industry,
right.
Raised about $15 million to put it up for a referendum.
Mm-hmm.
There was a very contested ballot in 2004, and we came very close, but we did not manage to pass it. We got 49.2% of the vote.
Wow.
Not that I'm bitter. And Governor Schwarzenegger was actually a major factor. He campaigned against that measure,
right.
To require employers to provide health coverage to their workers.
Mm-hmm.
That was 2003, that was 2004. In 2005, there was a measure to expand coverage to all children, 1 million children who were uninsured in California. That was vetoed by Governor Schwarzenegger.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2006, there was Senator Kuhl's proposal, the universal single-payer measure, that also was on his desk and he vetoed.
Mm-hmm.
So what was exciting about 2007, and that in the conversation we're still in now, is that as opposed to saying no, 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 Governor Schwarzenegger finally came to the table, partially because we kept banging on the door,
mm-hmm.
to say, okay, I said no to those previous things, but here's what I would say yes to. And it was a proposal that certainly was very bold and iconoclastic for a Republican governor. It was there was lots of issues that we had with it, and we actually had significant issues with it throughout the year,
mm-hmm.
but it meant that he came to the table. And that enabled the negotiation between the governor and the legislature, which had passed those three previous reforms,
right.
To allow for what is now pending in the state Senate, which is AB X11, a comprehensive health reform that would dramatically expand coverage, regulate the insurance industry, do other things, but that's what's pending now in the mm-hmm. state Senate.
And so it's cleared the lower house. The assembly has passed it, and now it awaits action in the Senate. Sheila Kuhl is once again front and center because she chairs the committee that is currently hearing it,
mm-hmm.
and the president pro tem, Don Parada, who succeeded John Burton, he appears to be on the fence about it, raising serious questions about the cost factor, and given the budget problems, the $14 billion deficit that the state is facing this year, this health care package has about a $14 billion price tag on it, and he appears to be concerned that voters simply won't pass it. What is your sense of the landscape in the Senate right now, Anthony?
Right now, it is currently pending. There is people are very much lobbying their senators. We are, as a consumer advocacy group, we are urging folks to urge their senators to support ABX11 and to expand coverage for millions of Californians, and to also provide some financial assistance to those who have coverage but are burdened by high health care costs. What the situation is that this is actually a twofer. The proposal in the Senate is a bill, but then they would go to the ballot for the financing. So,
right.
And so at some level, they're going to the ballot proactively rather than having being placed on the ballot as we were several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The ballot will have about $15 billion in new money, mostly from, again, employers who don't provide health coverage to their workers, from a tobacco tax, as well as from new federal funds that are generated from county and hospital savings.
Mm-hmm.
That will be on the ballot. If this all works out, that will be on the ballot in November 2008, and then the voters will get a chance to decide. But in order for the voters to get a chance to decide, it has to pass the legislature, and that's what the next few days is going to be about.
And what's the deadline to qualify for the November ballot?
Well, there is already a ballot measure that has already been filed that is a companion to this, but we really can't start circulating the signatures unless the companion bill passes.
I see.
And so that's really the next week will determine whether we have health care reform in California. And I think that the contrast is stark. It's whether we stay with the status quo, which is millions of people uninsured, many people facing uninsurance or high health care costs, or do we try to raise additional money and reform the insurance industry so they can no longer deny people because of pre-existing conditions and try to start making steps for health reforms and for a better access to care.
We're talking with Anthony Wright, Executive Director of Health Access California, live from Washington here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Anthony, one of the terms that's been tossed around that I think causes people to glaze over and say, huh, is this idea of mandates. And Obama's program doesn't require them, Clinton's and Edwards do. And essentially, the actuaries say that in order to really get an efficient pool of people to cover, you got to have everybody in there so that healthy people are paying premiums to pay for the costs incurred by sick people. It makes sense to me. I'm not really put off by mandates. I don't believe that they're going to arrest people and take them to the hospital if they don't have insurance. It'll be more in the form of loss of a tax credit or something like that. What's your position on mandates, and is this a central issue?
Well, it doesn't need to be. I think the I've actually been amused by the conversation among the presidential candidates, because I actually think that they are actually have remarkably similar plans, and I think they've made something big out of something small, which is, you know, basically Clinton and Edwards say we want to have a mandate, but we're going to provide an assurance that it's affordable. Senator Obama says, I want to make sure it's affordable before I require you to get it. But those are two sides of the same coin. It's the and with regard to the California health reform, I think that's key as well. So Governor Schwarzenegger did have a mandate on individuals to buy coverage in his original proposal. We actually opposed it because we did not believe that his plan originally did not have the necessary help to people to help meet the mandate, that it didn't provide enough subsidies, and that was the problem. It does now, and that's why we support it.
Anthony, thank you very much. Nice to meet you, and we'll talk again. Anthony Wright from Health Access California. More live from Washington, D.C. in the Families USA Healthcare Conference coming up on the Peter B. Collins Show. Our producer, Katrina Rills, here with me. Brian Urban back at the studio. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Economic stimulation.
Stimulus package will put money in the hands of hardworking Americans.
Sundown debates in the Sunshine State.
GOP presidential hopefuls debate tonight in South Florida. I'm Peter King.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Jim Taylor. Lightning fast, that's how quickly Washington is acting to stimulate the economy.
Throwing aside all the usual political battling, House leaders and the administration reached agreement with unheard-of speed, though the $150 billion package still has to pass both House and Senate. The key elements, says House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, tax rebate checks for lower and middle-income families. For an average family of four, it would be $1,800.
Tens of millions of Americans will have a check in the mail. They really will.
Republican leader John Boehner was happy the package includes some business tax cuts to encourage expansion and hiring.
I think it's a good compromise that will benefit the American people.
Some Senate Democrats say they will want to make changes, but correspondent Mark Noller reports the White House likes it just the way it is.
Just 6 days after his call for a package of tax rebates and incentives to boost the economy, President Bush trumpeted the deal.
Importantly, this package recognizes that lowering taxes is a powerful and efficient way to help consumers and businesses.
But Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson says it'll take a while before anybody gets a rebate check.
Within roughly 60 days, more or less, we will be able to begin making payments.
But that's 60 days after Congress enacts the plan, and 10 weeks after that till most of the checks are in the mail. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
Like many Americans, this woman ready to spend the money.
Decorating my new baby's room or vacation.
travel.
But this fellow New Yorker questions the value of giving us each a fistful of dollars to fix the economy.
It's a shot in the arm, and I don't think that's what it needs. I mean, there are long-term problems in the economy, and this isn't going to do it.
On Wall Street, two up days in a row. The market's calm by comparison to yesterday's nearly 300-point gain. The Dow finishing up 108 points to end at 12,378. The Nasdaq gains 44.5. S&P 500 adds 13. Now this.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
That's one small step for man.
We interrupt this report for an important news bulletin. You can now purchase original Dell ink and toner at Staples. Now, back to that other thing.
Finally, some news to get excited about. Staples is the only store to carry every original Dell ink cartridge, plus a wide selection of Dell computers, printers, monitors, and toner, too. Or visit us at staples.com for the same great selection. Staples, that was easy.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your oil change sticker.
I've been in the sun too long. I think I'm peeling.
No kidding. How come?
Hello? Maybe you're overdue for an oil change at the dealer.
Oh, right. How about that?
Well, you know what? I should have written out the date or mileage to remind you. Oh, wait. I did.
All right. Time to go to the dealer.
Good idea. And don't worry about me. I'll be fine on your windshield for the next 5,000 miles.
See? Everybody wins.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in. Keep going.
GOP debate tonight.
I'm Peter King, live in Boca Raton, Florida, where you can expect the number one topic to be
money, 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 the economy, the economy, the economy. It's the same thing here as elsewhere because Florida is a bellwether state.
University of South Florida politics professor Susan McManus says it's one last chance for the candidates to sell themselves to Florida voters. She says winning could mean many more wins on Super Tuesday. Losing could mean the end of the line for candidates like Huckabee or Giuliani. Jim?
End of the line for Dennis Kucinich, the Democratic candidate for president who got 1% of the vote in the New Hampshire primary, withdrawing from the race, so he can stay in Congress. Steve Shigera, CBS News political director.
It's clear to him that he doesn't have a shot at becoming president. And if he wants to have a shot of keeping his congressional seat, he has to get out now and focus on the March 4th House primary that he's going to be running in.
Storm continues to rage between top Democratic contenders Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama.
Black voters shouldn't blame Senator Clinton for running a vigorous campaign against me. That should be a source of pride. It means that I might win this thing.
Ousted as the head of the World Bank today, the State Department names Paul Wolfowitz to take over an advisory panel on arms control and disarmament. Official charges against missing Marine Corporal Cesar Lorien.
The indictments are for first-degree murder, financial card theft, attempted financial card fraud, and robbery with a dangerous weapon.
North Carolina prosecutor Dewey Hudson says the indictments could mean execution if convicted unless the Marine is apprehended in his native Mexico, where extradition means waiving the death penalty. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Are you still running on last year's technology? Then hurry into Office Depot for great deals on the latest tech products. Office Depot has a wide assortment of printers, and this week get a $75 mail-in savings on HP printers $199.99 or more. And to bring your camera into the digital age, save 15% instantly on Canon and Sony cameras $199.99 or more. Office Depot, taking care of business and all your technology needs. Excludes discontinued bundles and clearance items. Offers expire January 26th.
At Mercedes-Benz, our affordable certified pre-owned vehicles come with the rich legacy of engineering that is Mercedes-Benz. And a 155-point inspection, roadside assistance, and a one-year warranty up to 100,000 miles. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz retains its integrity because, as a company, we have ours. Stop by your local authorized dealer and ask about the certified pre-owned program by Mercedes-Benz.
See dealer for complete details on warranty and roadside assistance. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles.
Employers in California.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show live from Washington, D.C. We're at the beautiful Mayflower Hotel, just a few blocks from the White House, around the corner from K Street Lobbyists. Nobody tried to lobby me today when I went out for a little morning jog. And it's a very exciting conference. Lots going on here. The noise in the background will ebb and flow. There is a performance by the Capitol Steps, which picks up about an hour from now, in the ballroom about 20 feet across the hall from us here. So I expect they're going to be very popular, and that you'll hear a lot more noise. And then the subdued thud, thud, thud of the Capitol Steps as they do their great political parody and satire songs. Live for the attendees here at the conference tonight. If you'd like to join us, our regular phone number works, and we've got some, you know, little alligator clips and cords that hook it all up so we can hear you here in Washington. You can call in at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, toll free. And you can always email me, Peter at peterbcollins.com, but I don't have the screen up in front of me, so it's not a way for immediate feedback at this time. Bernie Horn joins us now. He's Senior Director for Policy and Communications at the Center for Policy Alternatives. He has a new book that just came out. Well, it's a year old, is that right?
No, it just came out.
Just came out. Okay, I got the date wrong. And it is called Framing the Future, How Progressive Values Can Win Elections and Influence People. Bernie has worked on campaigns as a manager and consultant. Also was a consultant to the Sarah Brady Foundation that framed the Brady Bill. And he also tells me that he wrote the assault weapons ban that Senator Feinstein of California passed during her first term and was unsuccessful in renewing in the last couple of years. Bernie, welcome to our program.
Thank you very much.
Let's talk a little bit about politics and, in particular, the framing and the language that is used. Democrats have become much more astute over the last few years. People like George Lakoff and many others have been trying to redirect Democrats not to use phony language, but to use the proper language. And it's interesting because I've heard Rush Limbaugh go off on Professor Lakoff, and he intentionally mispronounces his name, Lakoff, and then pauses to see how people might rhyme that with something. And Limbaugh says that as Democrats approach these issues of language and framing, that they're really just trying to deceive us. I don't believe that's the case. What's your take?
That's so ironic because that's exactly what he does.
Yep.
The right-wing noise machine polls issues and they're told what to say. For example, the death tax.
Yep.
Now, the death tax is a completely phony framing of the estate tax or inheritance tax, but they made it up. They polled it. They found that if they say death tax, that about 10% more people side with them than if it's called the estate tax. And then people like Rush Limbaugh go on the radio and talk about the death tax.
Mm-hmm.
That is manipulating people. What we're trying to do is to have Democrats and progressives understand how persuadable voters hear language, what language means to them, so that if we say corporate greed, one progressive will understand that from another progressive, but a persuadable voter will be turned off. They'll think that's an ideological statement. Instead, we could say Wall Street. Wall Street is language that persuadable voters understand to mean corporate greed.
Mm-hmm. Now, on that very point, I'm fascinated because I personally believe that John Edwards should be getting more traction in the Democratic primaries for his attacks on corporate greed and the control that they have on Washington. And it took my breath away because about a week ago, David Brooks was on the PBS NewsHour, and without offering any corroboration whatsoever, he just flatly stated that polling over the last 20 or 30 years shows that corporations are popular with all Americans. He said AT&T has an approval rating of 78%. Now, I find that hard to believe. AT&T is the company that collaborated with the government to tap my phone calls and my emails, and I do not have a positive view of them at all. Putting that little issue aside, though, do most Americans have a positive view of corporate America?
A reasonably positive view. They don't consider corporations to be, bad per se. They don't see They don't use that language the way we do. I mean, they're thinking of their local coffee shop, their bowling alley, their restaurant. They're all corporations.
Then why can't we get them to think of Enron?
Well, when we talk about Enron in the context of an issue, they'll understand it. But better to make them understand what we're trying to do for them. We're trying to bring them equal opportunity. We're trying to bring them security. We're trying to protect their freedom. And when you bring it home to them, you know, what they get out of it, what persuadable voters are going to benefit from our policies, then they're on our side.
Mm-hmm. So how do we navigate from here to there?
Well, what we need to do is understand that persuadable voters are really different than we partisans, that they are not concentrating on the policies or the facts of politics nearly as much as we are. We have to talk their language instead of ours. So we first have to find a point of agreement. That is, when we're going to talk about the minimum wage, instead of launching into why the minimum wage should be increased, we have to explain why. We're in favor of an America that truly provides equal opportunity. We're in favor of making the American dream a reality.
Oh, but I've got mine. Why is the fortune of somebody else my business? You know, I've got a Lexus, I've got a home in a gated community, you know, all those things that I'm supposed to get that television tells me, so why should I care?
Well, because they want equal opportunity also. That is, if you talk about the value, the principle, people want that for themselves. And then you explain why that particular progressive solution brings us closer to the ideal. So it's the laundry list of issues that separates us from the persuadable voters. We need to talk about our values, our principles, because the conservatives do very successfully.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of the name S-CHIP for the Children's Health Bill?
Terrible. I mean, it doesn't describe what it does. And you'll see that, you know, the conservatives make up language like the Healthy Skies Initiative.
No, it's Clear Skies, Healthy Forests.
Right, Healthy Forests, Clear Skies. Right, for pollution and cutting down trees.
I don't know about your backyard, but after I clear cut, it's much healthier.
Well, you know, this is manipulation. What we're trying to do is not manipulate, but to use words that people understand mm-hmm. in the way that they understand them.
Now, so Bernie, let me ask you about this, because I hear what you're saying, and I embrace it. At the same time, I feel that it can be misused. And I look back at 2004, and the way Bob Shrum ran the Kerry campaign, which is, oh, don't offend the independents. We're going to need them. And, you know, if we just kind of cautiously, you know, limp from pillar to post, Bush is going to lose because he's going to defeat himself. And all we got to do is not alienate some independents and we'll win. Well, I think that was backwards. I think that Kerry needed to really invigorate the base. He needed to play some partisan cards, not brutally or you know, to go too far, but he had to really galvanize the base and try to expand that base to include some independents, as opposed to trying to pander or soft pedal issues in a way that would get some additional people to vote for him.
Well, soft peddling really worked against Kerry. And the reason is that Karl Rove framed this election for the persuadable voters. He framed it as a choice between strength and weakness. Whatever you might think of Bush, he is very strong in the exact wrong direction, but he's very strong. And so Rove saw that as an advantage. And then he had to paint Kerry as a weakling, and that's why we heard all this talk about him being a flip-flopper. Imagine how strange it is to have a Massachusetts liberal who's not being attacked as a Massachusetts liberal, it's being attacked as a flip-flopper. That's because if you attacked him as a liberal, you'd be saying that he's strong. And the Rove strategy was strength versus weakness. So Kerry should have been strong.
Mm-hmm.
And he stepped into the punch by refusing to engage.
So if McCain is the nominee, how would you counsel Democrats to approach him? He's elderly, he's a veteran with a distinguished record, but he's no maverick, and he's not a moderate. He is a hardline conservative who gets a whole pass from the media in the way he's presented.
That's right. Well, do you remember what James Carville wrote on the whiteboard in the war room in 1992? Only one of them is famous, and that's the economy stupid.
Right.
But above that, it said, change, not more of the same. And below it, it said, don't forget about health care. This election should be framed exactly the way the 1992 election was framed. It's change, it's the economy, it's health care.
Well, I would argue that you're right now. I think in 92 they made a mistake. I think they looked at the Harris-Wofford race in Pennsylvania. You remember that?
Yes.
He was running against Thornburg, and he made a big deal out of health insurance issues, and he won. And a lot of people thought that was a harbinger, a bellwether, whatever metaphor you want to use. And I think they misread that. I think that, you know, I as a progressive, I wanted health care reform in 93. But I'm not sure that the whole country was focused on it. I do think it is the case now.
Well, I think it is the case now also. Polls will show that it's one of the top issues in America behind Iraq and the overall economy. And I think that this is a real distinction between progressives and conservatives in 2008. Now, can we convince the persuadable voters that they're going to benefit from our policies? Because they want to know how they benefit personally, not mm-hmm. how we're going to help the poor uninsured, but how is it going to bring quality, affordable health care to them?
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you about one more loaded term, Bernie, and that is, I just forgot it. Amnesty, that's what it is. In the immigration debate, amnesty was evil. In the debate over the reform of the FISA law and spying on Americans, amnesty for the phone companies somehow is okay. Can you explain that?
That's very intentional. I mean, that is language that has been polled, and amnesty helps them a lot. We have to get off of the types of language that paint the undocumented people as illegal
mm-hmm.
or criminals in some way. Because if they are illegal, then they deserve to be punished. If they are aliens, then they are not one of us. That's why we say undocumented worker. You know, undocumented doesn't mean anything bad. Mm-hmm. And worker means they're worthy. You know, I'm very sorry that these words actually change how people think about policy. But we have to play this game. It doesn't mean that we have to change our policy. Mm-hmm. It just means we have to explain it in a way that persuadable voters can appreciate.
Well, there's universal rejection of the term S-CHIP. Nobody says, oh, yeah, it's a great name. We're going to take a break and return. Bernie Horn, the author of Framing the Future, How Progressive Values Can Win Elections and Influence People. Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
All right. We'll continue in just a moment live from Washington, D.C. Dave Lipschitz will join us next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years. And he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Cynthia from Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Carmel, and we have something new, a unique opportunity to give yourself or someone special the gift of consultation with nationally respected life coach and career mentor, Raymond Davi. Paul and I know firsthand the empowerment Ray has to offer. Discover how changes can propel you where you want to go in the areas of personal and career growth or planning goals for ongoing success, as well as insights for your work-life balance. Don't hesitate. Call and reserve your 90-minute appointment or purchase a gift certificate now. Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, 624-4955 or www.pilgrimsway.com.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, be the path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
And we are going to start off with the Santa Cruz Mountains. Slippery road surface conditions because of rain and ice. The CHP has activated the overhead sign to warn approaching motorists. Santa Cruz Mountains, injury crash, Bear Creek Road east of 17. It's a pickup truck and a car. They collided head-on. Emergency crews are on scene there, and the traffic obviously slow in the area. And also Santa Cruz County, Highland Way at Soquel. San Jose Road, we have a solo vehicle that went off the roadway. Multiple cars also stuck in heavy snow. Caltrans snowplow is en route. Pacific Grove, Holman Highway at Morse, solo vehicle hit the guardrail on the right shoulder. For folks heading down to Southern California, Interstate 5 is closed in both directions at the Grapevine. The pain of being stuck in traffic only gets worse when you've got a sore throat. Nucipacol Dual Relief Spray numbs pain instantly with just one shot. It's the little spray that's a big shot of relief. Nucipacol Dual Relief Spray. That's traffic on KRXN.
I'm Johnny Cash.
Love is a burning thing. And it makes a fiery ring.
Joining me now is the Family's USA Karaoke Champion, David Lipschitz. He's the interim president and CEO of California Health Advocates in their Los Angeles office, but they're based in Sacramento. So David, welcome to our program.
Thanks for having me.
You a big Johnny Cash fan?
Somewhat of a Cash fan.
Yeah?
Yes.
Get the whole collection, the box set. A lot of great songs in there.
I certainly will.
So CHA is focused primarily on California Medicare beneficiaries. Is that fair to say?
That's correct.
Okay. Well, what's the status of Medicare in California? Is it generally working for the beneficiaries?
On the whole, the Medicare program has served a vital role for seniors and individuals with disabilities since 1965. And on the whole, the Medicare program works. When you segment out some of the aspects of Medicare, including the current Part D prescription drug benefit and more of an increase in enrollment in some private plans like HMOs and PPOs and private fee-for-service plans, there have been more problems in the last few years.
All right. We'll try to touch on a couple of those in a minute. One of the things that many people promote, and Congressman Conyers was here today talking with some of us, that you know, Medicare is the most efficient delivery system. It and the VA have the lowest administrative and overhead costs, and more of every dollar goes to actual patient care than in any other comparable delivery system in this country. So it's often touted as the solution, that if we just expand Medicare to cover all, that it's kind of this silver bullet that'll fix our problems, help us control costs, and cover as many people, if not all people, in this country. Is that feasible in your view, or do we need to fix some of the issues that you have with Medicare delivery before we would expand it?
Well, ideally we could do both at the same time, but you're absolutely right about the efficiencies of the Medicare program, but it depends on what aspect of Medicare you're talking about. If you're talking about the original traditional Medicare program, which most Medicare beneficiaries have, whereby they could go see whatever doctors, providers they want, it is incredibly efficient. There's very little overhead, and most of the money does get put back into beneficiary services. But when you're looking at the private plans within Medicare, the efficiencies start to diminish.
Mm-hmm.
When you're looking at greater overhead and administrative costs for each individual health
right.
plan,
mm-hmm.
When you're looking at the profit margin that the plans seek to get out of the delivery of health care, it starts becoming less efficient. So if we talk about expanding Medicare for all, I think as part of that debate, we have to look at which aspects and how are we going to expand Medicare. I think the current drive towards privatization, whereby more and more people are enrolling and getting their comprehensive Medicare benefits through commercial plans such
mm-hmm.
as health maintenance organizations, preferred provider organizations, private fee-for-service plans, might not be the best way to expand coverage to Medicare. But as a general principle, I do believe that the Medicare program should be expanded for everyone in the country, and it would produce some efficiencies and obviously, great
mm-hmm.
coverage.
Now, describe Medicare Advantage and why you see problems with that package.
The Medicare Advantage program, otherwise known as Part C of Medicare, is essentially allows a Medicare beneficiary to enroll his or her Medicare into a private health plan through which they get most or all of their Medicare covered services. The HMO, the Health Maintenance Organization, has been an aspect of the Medicare program that's been around for decades, really. The private plan participation in Medicare was more formalized in the 90s into the Medicare Plus Choice program, and then in 2003, as part of the Medicare Modernization Act that created the new Part D prescription drug benefit, the name was changed and the pot was sweetened, so to speak, in reimbursements to Medicare Advantage plans increased greatly. A lot of the background of the Medicare Advantage plan and whether or not you believe they are the best route to go for Medicare depends
mm-hmm.
upon, I think, where you stand in two broad camps or two philosophies, whether or not you think the private market is the right way
mm-hmm.
to address health care.
And I'll just cut you off there and say I don't think it is. I think we've tried and failed. David Lipschitz, thanks for joining us from California Health Advocates, CHA. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Coming up more live from Washington, D.C., I'm Peter B. Collins at the Families USA Conference.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I am ready to be stimulated. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Wow! Everyone in Washington wants to hand out money, wants to hand out a check that simply says, thank you for being an American and for not kicking us out of office. I thought they were broke. But no, the Republicans are ready to act.
It's pretty clear that there's a real need in the country for the Congress to act.
The Democrats are ready to act.
We hope our economy is strong, but we have to act as if it is in a downturn.
The president is ready to get something done.
I'm confident that we can get something done.
The only debate is over whom to give it to. Do you give it to low-income people?
These workers will spend the largest proportion of what they receive.
Or is it just as important to stimulate business people?
To put money in the hands of the wage payer.
The key is to find people who will spend it fast and spend it on stimulating things. Well, I would like to speak for those of us who are neither poor nor run businesses and promise Congress that if you send us a check, we can spend it as fast as you want. And we will spend it on something stimulating. If you just tell us what that is. In fact, if you could just put up an economic stimulation wish list on Amazon, as long as it's not those obnoxious scented candles, we will buy it the moment we get the check. Heck, we'll just take out a payday loan and buy it now and wait to be reimbursed. Frankly, I think a better idea would be to take the money we're spending fixing bridges in Baghdad and fix a few here, but whatever. Now this.
So, hon, how do you want your hair done?
Oh, I just want to try something really different.
Okay, well, if we trim your disorganized finances, layer your expenses, and give your late invoicing some body, you'll look just like a movie star.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why millions of businesses rely on QuickBooks software to easily handle routine chores, like organizing finances and tracking expenses, so you can get back to what you do best.
You are a stylist, aren't you?
Award-winning.
QuickBooks. Get back to business. Start today at QuickBooks.com.
This is Dave Ross, on the web at DaveRoss.com.
Jim Moore Income Tax in Watsonville has been helping Monterey Bay Area residents with personal income tax preparation for more than 20 years. And this year, Manager Juan Gonzalez is prepared to assist all taxpayers take advantage of tax credits and rebates especially targeted for the eco-minded. The staff of Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in fast professional income tax preparation at a very reasonable price. Do you have a naughty tax problem? Let Juan Gonzalez and his staff provide the expert assistance you need. Jim Moore Income Tax is located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. This year, let Juan Gonzalez show you where the green is for green living taxpayers. Visit Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville. Be sure to take copies of your 2006 tax return and all of your 2007 W-2s and 1099s. Remember Jim Moore Income Tax for all of your tax preparation needs.
At Homescapes Carmel, we search far and near to find the best locally made, American-made, and imported furnishings the world has to offer. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I scour the globe to find unique, unusual, and unmatched merchandise to help you personalize your home and garden. We're proud to offer a variety of products such as cabinets, lamps, and vases made with bamboo, plantation teak, and other renewable and reclaimed resources. These items are beautiful, durable, and most of all, eco-friendly. So stop by Homescapes Carmel on the corner of 7th and Dolores, or visit homescapescarmel.com.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas. And we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
I want to be fantastic. I mean, mild-mannered, except when he's not. I can live with that, but I desire to be fantastic. It's 33 minutes after the hour. We're live from Washington, D.C. We'll do it again tomorrow. We're at the Families USA Health Action 2008 conference focused on health care and health care reform in this country. And if you'd like to call in, we'd love to hear from you. You can use the usual number. Everything is working. And I want to thank Brian Urban for keeping everything under control at our secret studio in the Bay Area. And you can call in at 888-5-PETER-B, 888 573-8372. Kelly Stallman joins us now, board president of Colorado Consumer Health Initiative, and she's on staff at Colorado Family Voices, and that's a disability organization. Kelly, welcome to our program.
Thank you.
And you found your way into this work because of the needs of your children, is that correct?
That's right. My husband and I have three sons, including 15-year-old twins who have profound cerebral palsy.
Mm-hmm.
They were born at 1 and 2 pounds at 28 weeks, and as we went forward trying to care for our kids, what we learned was that many of the things we believed to be in place for when the floor fell out from under you, in fact, are not in place. And what does that look like, and how do you access care?
I hope none of my questions are off limits or unpleasant for you. The first question I have is, when children are born with disabilities, is that considered a pre-existing condition that disqualifies them from most health care coverage?
It can, absolutely. And that was the reason my husband stayed in one job for a very long time. It kind of emerged. We were sent home from the neonatal intensive care nursery after 3 months saying, take them home, it's just like taking home your full-term baby. And nothing could have been further from the truth. They cried for 22 out of 24 hours. They were failure to thrive, unable to swallow their food without it going into their lungs. So a lot of pneumonia. And then as it evolved, it didn't roll on time, didn't, you know, sit up on time. And
mm-hmm.
in fact, Mark has fewer motor skills at 15 years old than a newborn.
Mm-hmm.
And Eric as well. Although Eric is verbal and he can drive his power chair.
Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about the challenges you faced in adjusting to the reality of twins with significant challenges.
Well, the first thing is, it became difficult to go to the twins club because it seemed as though, you know, was I whining more than the other mothers, or what is different than what we expected? And as we got a diagnosis and figured out that, no, in fact, I wasn't crazy, it was as hard as we thought it was. Then you go through the, I can't go there because it's too hard to go and listen to healthy, how hard it is to raise healthy twins, let alone twins with disabilities. Until I went, and this mom was sitting next to me, and she said, well, I just had twins. They're still in the hospital. They were 28 weeks. And she's sitting there saying, and this is my first meeting, and I pulled out my little pictures of my babies from the NICU, and she goes, you do understand.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we need to all know that, that it's happening at your next-door neighbors right this very minute.
Mm-hmm.
It's throughout the country. And so what does happen and how do you take care of it? Our private health insurance was fabulous, but when the twins were a year old, I got the phone call from the health plan that said, you've spent $400,000 of your $500,000 lifetime max. What are you going to do next month?
Wow. And what did you do?
Panicked.
Yeah.
Blind panic. So I had a baby in each arm and made hundreds of phone calls. And every phone call you made, they gave you 10 more places to call. None of whom could do anything. We made too much money to be eligible for any resources, but not enough to afford their medical care.
Yeah.
So our choices were, one professional close to the family said, you just have to get a divorce or sell your house and live under a bridge with your medically fragile children, or drop them off at the hospital, at which point I get to go to jail. So, you know, there was no win.
Yeah, those are Hobson's choices.
I don't know what that means.
It's just a phrase when there is no good choice.
There was no good choice.
All awful.
So we became involved in healthcare, and actually were part of a movement that was clearing a waiting list. Back in the early 80s, Ronald Reagan, in fact, created the home and community-based programs called the Kitty Beckett Waiver, and every state implements it differently, where Medicaid is actually a secondary insurance. So that primary insurance goes first. We purchase, even today, the best health care we can. But it doesn't cover home health care.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't cover the day-to-day getting kids in and out of their wheelchairs and changing pants and showering and all the things that they need support with to get through the day.
And do you have help? Do you have any?
We have Medicaid, so that means we do have home health. And,
yeah.
You know, my job I come from kind of a conservative background, so what does personal responsibility mean in a situation like this? And my job is to do the very best job with the dollars that we utilize. So, in fact, because I'm involved and work closely with the physicians, we have, rather than private duty nursing, which is the most expensive skilled care, we use certified nurses' aides, which is the least expensive skilled care. And we have extended hours, but they're still less than the private duty nursing hours.
Mm-hmm.
And how does that all work together? And then private health insurance pays for, they just had spine fusion. So, the $100,000 spine fusion was primarily paid for by insurance.
So have you added this all up? How much, medical care has cost you for your twins?
No, I don't think I could. And the sticker shock.
Yeah, yeah.
But we pay our maximum out of pocket every year. Colorado has one of the most restricted accesses to Medicaid, so by the time you're eligible, you're really eligible. And we have the leanest benefit package, which means we have the number one out of pocket cost in the country. Our out of pocket monthly is about the same as our mortgage.
Hmm. Wow.
And we're still trying to send our third child to college next fall.
Kelly Stallman with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're live in Washington, D.C. If you have a question or comment, you can call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, as you have worked through all this, have you helped build communities for the parents of other children with not necessarily similar problems but severe disabilities and their issues of access to health care?
Absolutely. Family Voices Colorado Family Voices nationally was started by Julia Beckett, whose daughter was living in the hospital because they couldn't get access. And Medicaid would pay for somebody in the hospital for 30 days, but they wouldn't pay for a child to live in their home. Now there are home and community-based services throughout the country, and Family Voices has gone national from a small grassroots. Most of the families that work with Family Voices have children with complex needs. And we've gone from a very narrow definition of profound disability to anything from mild asthma to profound autism. I think of the kiddo in As Good As It Gets, the mm-hmm. kiddo that is chronically sick, that has asthma, but when he gets medical care and he's got the right meds, he's out on the soccer field playing with his friends.
Yeah.
And that frees up mom to work and keep food and shelter going and keep the family intact.
Mm-hmm. Have we gotten past stigmatizing these situations?
No. No, I'm still a Medicaid mom, and it's driven by gatekeepers and driven by proving that you're worthy of receiving public funds, that it's justified, and therefore the inherent implication is that you're unworthy unless you're good enough to sell yourself.
And how do you hear about this? Do people...
I heard about it before my twins were born. Family Voices was helping one of my husband's coworkers. They were both in finance. They had three kids. One had hydrocephala, water on the brain. And this mom, we were in a playgroup, and this mom said, "I'm so excited. I kept putting my back out, and now I have a lift to get the kid into the bathtub without breaking my back. And he can get clean." And she was all excited. So when I had the twins and we finally had a diagnosis, I didn't know who to call.
Mm-hmm. So if you could change, wave a magic wand and change healthcare system factors, mm-hmm. what would they be? What do you think most needs to be addressed, particularly when we're dealing with people with serious disabilities?
Well, let's go back to your first question. A pre-existing condition is a great, great example. It doesn't have anything to do with whether or not you've been sick before or before you got this health insurance. A pre-existing condition is defined as never having a lapse in health care coverage. That's all it means.
Hmm.
If you've had continuous health care coverage, you can't be dropped. So when my husband switched jobs and we had to wait 3 months to get health insurance, we picked up Cover Colorado and Cobra
mm-hmm.
to make sure that we had health insurance. But as long as you don't have a lapse, well, that's not realistic for a whole lot of people.
No.
And the ticket on that was $2,000. It was $1,900.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole lot of people that can't lose their job and pay that monthly premium.
All right. What else would you change?
Simplify. Simplify, simplify, simplify. We have the DD system, the Medicaid system. You have Medicaid, and we've heard about the SHIP program, the State Children's Health Insurance Plan. People bounce back and forth between being just above Medicaid and just below CHIP, and they go back and forth and back and forth, and you don't have they have different networks of doctors.
Mm-hmm.
They have, and that could be month to month. You can't create a good medical home where you have a pediatrician who knows the kids or a primary family physician that knows the family, which is the most cost-effective, healthiest, least mistake, least efficient way to deliver services.
Mm-hmm.
We shoot ourselves in the foot in our current healthcare system every minute of every day.
Well, I thought it was interesting. The same day that Bush delivered his first veto of the state children's health insurance bill, the San Francisco Chronicle ran an item about the cost of living in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
And it showed that average for a family of four is just under $60,000.
Mm-hmm.
And Bush was claiming that the CHIP program was creeping up into middle incomes because it mm-hmm. covered some families and just a handful of adults at the discretion of certain states whose family incomes were about $60,000. And it's just stunning to me that Bush can make this claim, that it's a way to have government get more involved in your health care and people in Washington will make decisions about what you can get. But it just doesn't square with the facts.
You've hit about three different areas right there. The first is the federal poverty level has not been readjusted since the 1960s. So when we talk about 100 or 200 or 300% of FPL, federal poverty level, it's a misnomer that baseline is actually federal poverty level. It's actually subsistence. So there's a new indicator on one of the Colorado organizations, Colorado Center on Law and Policy, has done a self-sufficiency model, which is cost of living index. And what does a family of four with two incomes, with child care, how many kids you have at certain age groups, because 1 through 5 is more expensive for child care than after school care, and at what point can they stay home alone, and all mm-hmm. those components by county. And we really need to be speaking about self-sufficiency as opposed to federal poverty level. That's number one, because we trip up the public instantly at 200% of FPL or 300%, which is what the president is objecting to. The second piece is, I lost my train of thought.
Well, let's see, I talked about cost. Excuse me. And, well, I don't remember either.
But so. the other piece is parents. And one of the sticking points, we met with all of our legislators on the, 7 out of 9 of our legislators on the Hill on Tuesday. And from the conservative perspective, this is a program for kids. It's not a program for parents. So not only are we creeping up on the federal poverty level, but now we're covering parents, and parents should take care of themselves, and parents should take care of their kids. And the truth of the matter is that if you have a healthy parent who knows how to take care of themselves, they're now teaching the entire next generation of the country how to take care of themselves, and that every parent that has health care is more likely to take their kid to the doctor when they need health care. So, and then the school-based settings, a lot of health care, because you have working parents, they're using a lot more school systems. We took all the school nurses out. Now we're bringing them back in as a primary care location to give the kid care there. That's part of all of the components that are in the reauthorization, and it's just critical that this pass.
Yeah.
And it's critical that we have healthy adults and a healthy society. So at what point, again, are we shooting ourselves in the foot by the haves and the have-nots, the ins and the outs, the deserving and the undeserving? I live in former presidential candidate Tancredo's district.
Mm-hmm.
And
my condolences.
I have two things to say. The first is I live in a very conservative area, and without fail, when I'm at the grocery store with my twins with a home health care aide, and they say, oh, you know, I get the invariable, I don't know how you do it. Or, are you the mother? Well, yes, I'm the mother, and I don't know how you do it. It's, well, your tax dollars at work. This is our home health care aid that you're paying for with your tax dollars. And without fail, the answer is, good, that's what I want my tax dollars to go for. Mm. So the value that we're expressing across the country is different than how we think we're voting. And so we need to define personal responsibility. We need to define haves and have-nots. At what point do you deserve to get out of bed in the morning if you can't get out of bed by yourself?
Yeah.
And do you have to spin down to poverty where you can't? You lose your house and you lose your car and you lose your neighbors and you lose your faith community because now you have to spin down into poverty and you can't live in your old neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
When, in fact, you have those natural supports that you could be supported by your friends and family with a little help. And that's the thought I'd like to leave you with. Our family does everything we can. Every family I know does everything they can. It's not fun to be on Medicaid or to access health care.
Yeah.
It's not. We don't do this for a good time. But we can't do it alone. And we've got to start working that way and working together and cohesively.
Kelly Stallman, my list says you're fantastic, and now I agree. Thank you for joining us. Colorado Family Voices. Is there a website where people can get more info?
The national website is www.familyvoices.org,
mm-hmm.
and Colorado is www.familyvoicesco.org.
Gotcha.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure, Kelly. More coming up in a minute. Live from Washington, D.C., I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Of activity. Santa Cruz Mountains, we are looking at slippery road surface because of rain and ice. CHP has activated the overhead sign to warn approaching motorists traveling there. Also, Santa Cruz Mountains, injury crash, Bear Creek Road closed between Gist and Highway 35. A pickup truck and a car collided head-on. A tree and power lines are down as well. Emergency crews on scene. In Hollister on Cienega at Limekiln, we have a solo vehicle that went down the embankment. Gilroy flooding the lanes of Highway 152 between Kenyatta and Ferguson. CHP is placing signs in the lanes to warn approaching motorists. Speaking of which, traveling to the Southern California area, I-5 shut down in both directions over the Grapevine due to snow and ice. Was that car you're buying wrecked in an accident on Highway 17? Half the cars salvaged into Santa Cruz are rebuilt and resold. Ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. That is traffic on KRXA.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, Jim Ross, president of National Real Estate Academy, will be hosting the show. Jim and his team had an incredibly successful year in 2007 in a very tough real estate market. Hear why their proven track record of finding cost-effective real estate investments make their investors so successful. That's this Sunday at 10 a.m., Rock Roller Real Estate. For more information, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, well, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
The Peter B. Collins Show. We're live from Washington, D.C., rocking out with a little John Fogerty there. And no guest is scheduled in this segment, so if you would like to check in with a question or a comment, it's wide open. You don't have to be talking about health care. Feel free to dial in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We did get the news just before we went on the air today that Dennis Kucinich has announced that tomorrow he will hold a, I guess he's giving an exclusive story to the Cleveland Plain Dealer. But we know what the story is. He's dropping out of the presidential race. And I, for one, value what he has brought to the debate through his doggedness and his determination and his commitment to progressive values and the issues that he has raised, universal single-payer, not-for-profit health care, which is top of mind here, but also his stalwart efforts regarding the illegal war and thoughtless occupation of Iraq and the spying on American citizens. I mean, he has just been front and center right on all the issues. And as I have talked with listeners over the last few weeks, I have, you know, been moving into pragmatic mode, trying to, in my view, achieve the paramount goal of denying Hillary Clinton the nomination. And in the past few days, it's gotten even messier as Bill Clinton continues to level attacks at the Obama campaign. And the latest flap is over a radio commercial which repeats many false comments that Barack Obama refuted in the most recent debates when he sat down with Hillary Clinton. And so I'm really saddened to see the Clintons, Bill, and Hillary use the politics of personal destruction which they used to use as a way to fight back against the conservatives and the Republicans who attacked them so much during the 90s. So it's one of those situations where I hope that the Clintons will pull back. But I'm afraid they're so used to this kind of hardball politics that they think it is the right thing to do. Brian, tell me who you got on the line there. I heard you talking. All right, we got Charles in Carmel Valley. Welcome, Charles. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, hi. How are you doing?
Doing okay, Charles. Thanks for your call.
The thing that, about the Democrats that really bothers me is that they don't have persistence in their argument. And this is you could say negotiating issue. I read this in one book about 25 years ago with Herb Cohen, you know, about negotiating.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about persistence of argument to get your idea across. And when they keep collapsing on every issue, one after the next, it doesn't show that there's any continuity in their thought, and there's nothing. They don't feel like they really believe it themselves.
And well, Charles, I think you're offering a powerful observation here, and I'm grateful for it, because I think you're essentially right, that we have seen the Democrats, particularly in this past year, when we thought there was a promise that they would make substantive efforts to rein in the Bush administration, specifically on Iraq, they were rolled over and over again. And I fault Speaker Pelosi and Leader Reid for their initial attempt at bipartisanship and conciliation, because this is a group of radicals in the Bush administration and their cohorts in the Republican Party who are not willing to compromise in almost any way, shape, or form. The sole exception is the current discussions about a stimulus package, and the Republicans are on board because they're desperate. They know they've created a huge mess, and they're trying to paper over it during this important election year. Beyond that, I believe that this conciliatory approach has caused the Democrats to lose, and I'll just add one other element to the package here. By taking impeachment off the table, it was a kind of unilateral disarmament that let Bush and Cheney say, so what are they going to do to us, huh? Let's keep breaking the law. Let's keep bulldozing.
You're right. That's, the thing that I just don't get is that, what is with these people? I mean, is he being blackmailed by Bush or something? I mean, from all this wiretapping? I mean, why is Reid just collapsing on everything like this?
Well, and now we see that the Senate is likely to pass a bill that gives amnesty to the phone companies for collaborating with the Bush administration.
Something is going on there. You know, something is really fishy about that whole thing.
All right, Charles, thank you for the call. I'm out of time here, but I appreciate your comments today. You're spot on, as they say. We're going to take a break and return in the next hour. A great congresswoman from Texas will join us, Sheila Jackson Lee. We're also going to meet a Canadian, Leo Fetrilli. And also the Frost family. They stood up to the Republican attack machine over the children's health insurance bill. More from Washington coming up. I'm Peter B. Collins. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company, which offers more than 60 different wines made with certified organic grapes. Veronique, French wines are intimidating for some American consumers. Mm-hmm. How do you help break it down for us?
Don't be intimidated. What is there to be intimidated about? There's nothing too exotic about them. You either like them or you don't like them. You know, it's really simple. You either like Van Gogh or you don't. You either like the Beatles or you don't. You know, wines are really a form of a vibration in a bottle, just like poetry, just like music. And you know the style of music that you like. So maybe you're going to love French wines. And then go for it.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE, toll free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. An economics stimulus agreement.
I think it's a good compromise that will benefit the American people.
That's Republican House Leader John Boehner on the plan to put spending money in America's hands.
I'm Dan Raviv.
If the Senate doesn't change this substantially, the vast majority of taxpayers will get $600 apiece. People with adjusted gross income over $75,000 will not get that much. In fact, over $87,000, they won't get any rebate, while Americans who earn very little and pay little or no income tax will get $300 each, and any parent or couple getting a rebate check will also get $300 per child.
Wall Street continues to embrace the idea of stimulus, the Dow finishing up 108 points today, just the second time this year we've had two up days in a row. Big night for Republicans in Florida, last chance for some, perhaps a last gasp for others. We're live with CBS's Peter King in Boca Raton.
Well, Jim, a Florida primary win Tuesday is a must,
because it'll mean that they probably will have some first place finishes after they leave Florida on February 5th.
University of South Florida politics professor Susan McManus says a loss could be fatal.
It looks like Giuliani would have a tough time going forward, as would Huckabee.
Leaving McCain and Romney to duke it out on Super Tuesday. Tonight's debate gives them all one last chance to pitch Florida voters head-to-head. Then it's one last push and hope for the best. Live at Florida Atlantic University, Peter King, CBS News.
There is one less Democratic hat in the ring. Tomorrow, Ohio Congressman Dennis Kucinich will officially announce his withdrawal from the race. CBSNews.com senior political editor Vaughn Ververs.
Dennis Kucinich never had a lot of real hope to win this nomination. I think he is facing some really stiff opposition for his re-election to Congress back home. He probably needs to get back there and take care of that business first.
Best showing for Dennis Kucinich, 1% of the vote in the New Hampshire primary. U.S. troops to Pakistan. Defense Secretary Robert Gates says the Bush administration is prepared to send them if Pakistan asks.
You're not talking about significant numbers of U.S. troops for the kinds of things if you're talking about going after Al-Qaeda in the border area or something like that.
Gates stresses the Pakistani government has not requested any additional assistance. There is one area of Afghanistan south of the capital of Kabul that American Afghan forces are trying to clear off of the Taliban. CBS's Cammie McCormick is with them.
American and Afghan commanders watch the images relayed by a U.S. surveillance plane while under the cover of darkness, Afghan commandos traveled a dangerous road.
What was leading us to those objectives was the high concentration of IEDs along the route.
Despite the bomb threat and temperatures of 20 degrees below zero, the commandos searched through the night, this American Special Forces soldier with them.
I mean, I'll be honest, they're a lot more used to it than we are. They do pretty well. They stayed motivated throughout the night.
They didn't find the roadside bomb factory they were looking for, but their operation in these conditions is an important part of their training. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, Paktia Province, Afghanistan.
This is CBS News.
Dad was complaining about his bad hammy again.
I know. He overdid it at the gym.
That's why he uses Tiger Balm ointment, right?
Yep. Tiger Balm helps with his bad hammy, the trick knee.
And the bum shoulder.
Bum shoulder? I didn't know about a bum shoulder.
Looks like we need more Tiger Balm.
Tiger Balm ointments, rubs, and patches give long-lasting relief to you or someone you care about. Got pain? Get Tiger Balm today. Available in stores everywhere. Tiger Balm. Works where it hurts.
Reason number 22 to switch to Geico. We think renters are cool. Now, we don't know if you were born cool or if it's just all the cool stuff you have in your apartment. The point is, if you want to protect your considerable coolness, ask Geico about renter's insurance. For as little as $12 a month, you can protect all the stuff you hold near and dear, including that combination flat-screen TV espresso machine. Now that is cool.
For a fast, easy rate quote on renter's insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
California's Supreme Court says employers can fire workers who use medical marijuana even if it was legally prescribed.
The case involved a telecommunications worker who uses marijuana to treat an Air Force back injury. Gary Ross tested positive for marijuana in a company-ordered drug test. His attorney argued that California's laws against the disabled in employment should apply to those who use marijuana to treat their disabilities. But the court ruled 5-2 that California's voter-approved Compassionate Use Act wasn't written to amend employment law. 11 other states have laws modeled after California's, and other courts could use this decision as a guide. Susan Kennedy, CBS News, San Francisco.
Research by a group of scientists studying the effects of heavy marijuana use suggests that withdrawal from smoking pot similar to what's experienced by people when they quit smoking cigarettes. John Hopkins' study says abstinence from each appears to cause several common symptoms: irritability, anger, trouble sleeping. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
That's one small step for man.
We interrupt this report for an important news bulletin. You can now purchase original Dell ink and toner at Staples. Now, back to that other thing.
Finally, some news to get excited about. Staples is the only store to carry every original Dell ink cartridge, plus a wide selection of Dell computers, printers, monitors, and toner, too. Or visit us at staples.com for the same great selection. Staples, that was easy.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your oil change sticker.
I've been in the sun too long. I think I'm peeling.
No kidding. How come?
Hello? Maybe you're overdue for an oil change at the dealer.
Oh, right. How about that?
Well, you know what? I should have written out the date or mileage to remind you. Oh, wait. I did.
All right. Time to go to the dealer.
Good idea. And don't worry about me. I'll be fine on your windshield for the next 5,000 miles.
See? Everybody wins.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in. Keep going.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter V. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B's America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show live from Washington, D.C. We originate from the Mayflower Hotel, just around the corner from the K Street Lobbyists, not too far from the White House. Yeah, we're deep in enemy territory here. It is Health Action 2008, the Conference of Families USA, and we're here on Radio Row as things are quieting down for the evening. All of the attendees are in the ballroom across the hall. Having dinner, and at some point we believe the Capitol Steps are going to unleash their provocative musical satire and parody. We're joined now by Robert Craig from Citizen Action in Wisconsin, and he joins us here. He went to school at Madison, a great school. We used to go there for the parties, and he grew up in Oak Park, Illinois, and I spent some time there. I went to Northwestern and lived in Chicago in the 1970s. Robert, welcome to the program.
Great to be here.
I wanted to get some ideas from you because before we went on the air, you explained to me about Healthy Wisconsin. And what we're seeing here is Massachusetts, California, Wisconsin, other states, and some municipalities, including my own San Francisco, moving to fill the void due to the lack of federal action to deal with the inequities, the lack of access, the huge numbers of uninsured. So we're still negotiating the Arnold Care package in California. We got an update on that last hour, and there's a crucial vote coming up this coming Monday in the state Senate to see if it will actually make it onto the ballot and go to the next step. But tell us a little bit about Healthy Wisconsin and what we might learn or draw from it to improve what's currently being negotiated in California.
You're absolutely right. There's been no federal action, no real run at health care reform since 1993, and since the late 90s, costs have nearly doubled, especially cost in individuals' pay, and so the states have stepped into the breach, acting as a laboratory of democracy, as they traditionally do. So in Wisconsin, we've actually developed, and it passed the state Senate this summer, one of the boldest plans that's advanced in any state, and it's a guaranteed health care coverage for everyone in the state, every resident, as good as what legislators receive, and it guarantees a choice of public or private plans. The private plans compete with each other for the business, and then there's a public option, like a single-payer option as well, if people don't want to choose private insurance. But it restructures the whole system. It would save $13 billion over 10 years. So it's a much more sweeping solution. It's not single-payer. It has a lot more choice than that. It's not the Canadian model. It tries to meld the guarantee of coverage, administrative efficiency, with the choice of different kinds of plans and choice of doctors, which is so important to Americans.
And do you see this as an appropriate transition? I'm a believer of two things. One, that the for-profit delivery of health care has been proven to be an utter failure in this country. We need to recognize that. We need to push aside the K Street arguments about socialism and make it a basic right and extend it to every American. And secondly, that single payer to me is ultimately the way to drive down the profit centers and the costs that are in administration and the back rooms, the bean counters, the people who get paid big bucks to deny health care to people who even do have coverage. So I want to see us move into single payer. I recognize what the pitfalls are and what the opponents will have to say. It's probably a little early to determine what consumer choice is in Wisconsin if they're taking the state plan as opposed to the for-profit plans. But what is your sense about ultimately achieving a single-payer universal coverage in this country?
It's very difficult to do in one foul swoop because of cynicism about government, which is traditional in this country, but has been built up by the right the last 30 years, and ironically has actually been built up by the Bush administration's complete incompetence. It's further delegitimized government.
Oh, you mean Katrina?
Katrina, Iraq, mm-hmm. Yeah, the financial crisis that we're in right now and how that's been handled and managed. So what ends up happening is because Americans are cynical about government and believe a public system would be a low-quality system, it's hard to go with a full single-payer plan. In fact, we've had some polling briefings at this conference that have shown you start out with about 54% support for a single-payer plan, but once the government socialism arguments are made, it goes into the mid-40s, and you need a supermajority to get over to the kind of the K Street problem you've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But what Healthy Wisconsin does, and frankly what the Obama-Clinton-Edwards plans do, is they create a large public option which could grow over time. And so they both guarantee coverage, but then have a public-private kind of hybrid plan where the public plan could get established and then could grow and become more and more of the market. So that's sort of a more pragmatic way to start building a single-payer system. A single-payer makes the best sense, I agree with you entirely, as policy. It doesn't make sense as politics right
yeah.
now, but if we could make a huge step towards it, what would happen is, if you had a large public plan that was less expensive and you continued to have businesses getting killed, right, by healthcare costs doubling again in another 7 or 8 years, then there becomes even more pressure just to convert to that public plan if you get it established and get about at least 30 to 40% of the market in that plan.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one of the things that we're confronting in California is that Governor Schwarzenegger has been brought here against his original instincts. And I give him credit for changing and for being willing to even entertain a massive proposal like the one that's taking shape at all. At the same time, because he's captive to Republican interests and business, the Chamber of Commerce, and in particular because his big problem is his own party in Sacramento. He's got pretty broad support from the Democrats on the health care plan that's moving forward, but members of his own party are his biggest stumbling block. And so it remains to be seen just how far he can go given those dynamics. At the same time, I don't think he is willing to embrace a single-payer track. He may permit it as an option, but I think that he'll kind of stack the deck to prop up the for-profit players and try to keep them in the game. That said, what do you think that we can do, even in educating consumers, to try to long-term move people towards single-payer and squeeze out the profit takers in healthcare delivery?
The biggest issue is reform itself is very popular. People believe there needs to be action. The system is entirely broken. And even the Republican presidential candidates are saying that rhetorically, even though they don't offer much of a solution at the back end. But what happens is once a plan is put forward, then people get fearful about how they'll come out because most voters are insured. 96% of voters have insurance nationally.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And so they begin to worry they are stakeholders. If they're insured, and most people are fairly happy with their own insurance and their doctor, they're worried, they're anxious about whether they're going to maintain that coverage, whether it'll be there when they need it, but they're satisfied with it now. So when the plan gets put forward, they begin to worry that they're going to come out as worse off, and all the people who profit in this system, the insurance companies, the drug companies, play on that fear.
Yeah.
So I did in 93, make people so afraid that they decide they'll be worse off making this leap than they would be to stay with what they have.
Mm-hmm.
And so the most important thing, I think, is to develop a very clear plan I mean, the complexity of these plans is a problem. It scares people.
And yeah, the Hillary policy, care died yeah. from, what, 1,400 pages?
Yeah, and that really is problematic. I mean, people are going, if they don't clear to them where they're going to come out, and that's where at least single payer has simplicity, mm-hmm. but then it needs to be made very clear, here is what you will get, here's the package you're guaranteed, here are the choices you have, here's how you will have the same doctor you've always had, because people are satisfied with their doctors. And you, the other thing you need to do in addition to reassuring people is, when people are fearful, they don't want to act, they don't want to be bold. When they're angry, then they want to take action. So we need to focus in a populist way on what the insurance companies are doing, like what Michael Moore did in Sicko,
yeah.
and what the drug companies are doing, and have enough indignation to get people to take the leap. But the choreography needs to be perfect. In a sense, what you have to do at the national level, and in a state, I think, as well, is to have a plan you can pass in a couple months. The longer debate goes on a plan, yeah. mm-hmm. the more anxious they become. And that's hard with all the gridlock possibilities in Congress, because the constitutional system is set up to have barriers to passing something. That's,
right.
that's the, you know, the genius and the liability of the system the founding mm-hmm. fathers created.
Well, you make a great point there, Robert, and just the process in California. If this gets approved by the legislature, it then has to qualify for the ballot in November. And in the meantime, we have at least $14 billion of deficit to close the gap. And Schwarzenegger says no new taxes, so it's going to come from cuts to, guess what, health care.
Right.
And so they're going to exacerbate the problem and escalate the fear that you just described as one of the biggest impediments to getting people to agree to change.
And then you'll get the 30-second spots. I mean, because the insurance industry makes money by insuring healthy people and not insuring unhealthy people. And they have no interest in insuring people who are going to need medical care.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have a lot to protect. The drug companies have a lot to protect. Certain hospitals do, especially the ones that compete like for-profit entities against each other to get more business or the high-tech specialized care
mm-hmm.
and the big new buildings. So there's a... But there's so much, this has become the top issue in almost every state in the country. It's become the top economic issue. We have another opening like we did in 93, where there's enough public indignation, the system is unsustainable enough that we could sweep this clean and have real reform. But if we mm-hmm. do it badly, not only could it crash and burn like 93, we could also, and this is, I think, your concern with Arnold Care, get something we don't really want that fails and then further makes it harder to convince people that we can do this.
Right. Robert, thanks for joining us. Great to meet you. Robert Craig with a K, K-R-A-I-G, from Citizen Action and One Wisconsin Now.
Thank you very much.
Nice to see you. Coming up next, Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee will join us as we continue our coverage of health care from Washington, D.C. and the Families USA Health Action 2008 Conference. More in a moment. I'm Peter B. Collins. KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Traffic on Carrick's Way. Plenty of problems starting off in Santa Cruz County on Highway 35. Shut down from Santa Clara, Santa Cruz County line to Highway 9 due to snow and ice. Santa Cruz Mountains, injury crash westbound Bear Creek Road closed between Gist and 35 due to a head-on collision, a tree and power line down in the lanes. Hollister, Cienega at Limekiln, we have a solo crash. A vehicle went down the embankment there. Also in the Santa Cruz Mountains, we want to mention that slippery road conditions due to rain and ice. CHP has activated the overhead sign to warn approaching motorists. Scotts Valley, northbound 17 after Granite Creek, we have an overturned van on the right shoulder. Emergency crews are blocking the right lane. Well, was that car you're buying wrecked in an accident on Highway 17? Half the cars in the area are rebuilt and resold. Ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. That is a look at traffic here on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show live from Washington, D.C. at the Families USA Health Action 2008 Conference. We'll be here again live tomorrow, and we have a lot of other great guests to talk to. But right now, we're pleased to be joined by Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee, Democrat from Texas. Congresswoman, thank you for tuning in tonight.
Thank you so very much for having me, and hello to your listeners.
And I just noted here in my little guidebook, you serve on the Homeland Security, Judiciary, and Science Committees. Let me start with the science issue, because as Speaker Pelosi in her keynote earlier today framed it, science is one of the critical areas about improving not only our health care system, but the efficient delivery of services to people who need them. And we've seen there's even a book, The Republican War on Science. And from stem cell to many other issues, including climate change, the Bush administration has been in deep denial. And we've seen California and Massachusetts and other states step forward, for example, with funding for stem cell research that the federal government should be involved in. So from your perspective, Congresswoman, how important is a return to science and independence for scientists in moving forward in solving our health care dilemmas?
Well, Phil, thank you very much. And clearly I would diagnose, if I was a credentialed doctor, that our healthcare system in America is actually sick. It is sick from the origins of research to the origins of delivery of that service on an equal basis. We have, in the past 8 years, have really seen a decline in the amount of money expended at the NIH for research such as stem cell research. The administration has been obstinate in deciding on its own that a certain form of stem cell research would be acceptable, and that is not the case by the leading scientists around the country. So we have stopped the delivery of services by stopping the creative thinking of our scientists to improve the conditions of healthcare. Stem cell research, of course, impacts Parkinson's, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and many others. In addition, we, as I indicated, have seen a decline in the kind of dollars that would go to the Centers for Disease Control because with a raging war, spending $120 billion a year in Iraq, we can't promote the kind of science that our speaker is speaking about. She has been innovative in her leadership to lead this Democratic caucus to fight for passage ultimately of stem cell research to kind of will be valuable. But add to that the few amount of dollars being spent on prevention. Mm-hmm. As I look at the numbers in the state of Texas, we find 72% of African Americans in Texas are overweight or obese, while 60% of white residents are obese. Maybe there is research that can determine what is the basis of obesity or how we can prevent it. We're not being aggressive in the health care of America or the healthiness of America. And as I listened to you earlier again, it is a sham when those who have pre-existing conditions are denied simple health care and health insurance to provide them with health care. So you have a package that can start, as the speaker indicated, from the research end, the finding of better health methods, to, of course, the rendering of health methods. Might I just add one point? I remember when the morning after pill was discovered, which is part of reproductive health,
right,
and how this administration stood in the way, preventing the FDA from issuing approval for a morning after pill that might save the lives of women who had been raped and might be vulnerable to an unhealthy pregnancy. This administration stood in the way to prevent us from utilizing that particular new find. And, of course, Senator Murray and Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton had to stand their ground until that issue was resolved.
Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your colleague Stephanie Tubbs Jones spoke to this gathering today and talked about the disparities. You referenced obesity in African Americans compared to Caucasians in Texas, but there's a whole range of issues. In the San Francisco Bay Area, African American women in the Bayview Hunters Point area have the highest incidence of breast cancer. And there are many other issues where there are disparities based along racial and ethnic lines. And Ms. Tubbs-Jones made the point that it's not just a matter of throwing more money at it. It's a matter of really having the resolve to drill into these issues and find cures, remedies, and protocols that can change it.
Well, absolutely. It is well known that only recently, when women members of Congress started increasing in numbers, that we began to press NIH for utilizing women in clinicals. In the instance of African Americans, it is well documented that there is a more deadly form of breast cancer. That basis or the reason thereof has not been discovered, and clearly in order to get ahead of the disease, one needs to emphasize the research and cause more African Americans to be in those clinicals. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Is there a cause and a solution? There has to be a cause and a solution to a lot of these disease fights, I call them, and I say that because I don't succumb to disease fights. I believe that there should be research that is a balance for cancer or HIV/AIDS or heart disease or stroke. Mm-hmm. But the real premise is that in order to be ahead of the curve, you need to have those directed dollars, those focused dollars with a plan to be able to be part of, certainly to be part of the research that would generate a cure. And that's another point, I think. We are, as I said, overwhelmed by the war in Iraq, which means that the dollars that would go to university research, research institutions, is limited. And so the idea of being creative and to be expansive in the research is difficult. Mm-hmm.
Congresswoman, I'm sorry, our time has run, and I thank you for taking the time to join us tonight, and I look forward
thank
to talking
you
with you
me.
Again. That is Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee, Democrat from Texas. Stay tuned. More live from Washington, D.C. as we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Visit our website, grab a podcast at peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2008 Audi TT Coupe. A zippy little sports car that's a lot of fun if you can afford it. The TT's sleek design and 3.2-liter six-cylinder engine with direct injection produce an amazing land rocket. The six-speed automatic has a dual-clutch gearbox, and even though I'm not sure how it works, it's one of the smoothest in recent memory. Handling, traction, and the Quattro all-wheel drive, all excellent. Inside, it's roomier than most of its competitors and has all the gadgets you'd expect. Before you buy a roadster, including Porsche, BMW, Mercedes, or Mazda, be sure to take a spin in an Audi TT. By the numbers, the Audi TT gets 18 mpg in the city, 24 on the highway, and sells in California for about $48,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Welcome to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your Solar Future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at high noon. Go to YourSolarFuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to YourSolarFuture.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, live from Washington, D.C., 33 minutes after the hour. We are live from Radio Row at the beautiful Mayflower Hotel, and things are winding down here. It is 3 hours later than it is in California, so all of the attendees are in the ballroom for dinner. And the other operator here at Radio Row is my pal John Elliott from Air America, who's just a couple of microphones down. And we're really enjoying talking with all the different attendees here and participants in the conference. And coming up in our last segment, just before the end of the show today, you're going to hear from the Frost family. And we've talked about them on the program before. They went public as advocates of the Children's Health Insurance Bill that has been twice vetoed by Bush. And their son, Graham, who is a precocious 12-year-old, gave the radio address in response to the president's weekly commentary back in October, I think it was. And they are just a regular family that stood up and said, this is something we need and that we value, and we want to see more Americans extended this kind of coverage. And in return for that, the right wing lowered the boom. And Rush Limbaugh attacked them, and what's her name? I'm blocking because I can't stand her. Miss Boo Frickin' Who. What's her name?
Melanie.
No, not Melanie. well, we'll think of it. Anyway, Michelle Malkin. See, I detest her so much it's hard to summon the name. Anyway, she even did a drive-by at the Frost home and declared that she could judge that they were too wealthy to qualify for the health insurance program. It was very ugly, but despite that, they held up very well, and you'll be able to meet the Frosts coming up one segment away. Leo Petrilli joins me now. He's an environmental activist and health consultant based in Windsor, Ontario. That's just over the bridge from Detroit. And he has helped create a new film called Toxic Trespass, subtitled How Safe Are Your Children? Leo, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Peter. Good evening.
Thanks for joining us. Now, I've been to Windsor all of once. Went there. I have relatives in Detroit. We went over to drop some coin at the casino. Didn't win, and I came back bitter.
I hope you stopped for a meal. At least we've got some good restaurants in the city.
No, I had a bad drink at the casino, and that was about it. But tell me what brought you into this work, trying to alert people to the dangers of toxins that are right out there in the environment on a daily basis, and we'll talk about diesel in particular in a moment.
My city has an unusually large number of trucks every day going through it. The average is from 20,000 to 30,000 every day.
Wow.
And between the border and the highway, it couldn't be more strategically incorrect. There's 16 traffic lights between the border and when the truck is doing 60 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
When it's doing 60 miles an hour, that's when the optimum for that engine is that it's supposed to be running clean.
Right.
It cuts, stop, cuts, stop, cuts. All that's being deposited in my community. We have
Grinding through the low gears. Yeah.
All that cancer, all that asthma is collecting in my city, and I'm here to let folks know about that.
Mm-hmm. Now, just anecdotally, I ride a bicycle and I ride a motorcycle. And whenever I get behind, it's usually a transit bus, you just get that face full of diesel exhaust, and right away, your own body tells you how unhealthy it is to breathe that in. What's the truth? What are the real toxins in diesel exhaust? And just how dangerous is it to be exposed to it on a daily basis?
Let me start off by saying I'm not a doctor or a scientist. I'm more someone who's been doing diesel for about the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
There's a tremendous website called Scorecard, www.scorecard. I'm not sure if it's .org or .com. It's like a golf scorecard. Mm-hmm. Basically, what you do is you enter into their search box. You enter a particular title of a chemical, like cadmium, for example. Cadmium is a known carcinogen. What Scorecard does is whatever medical information is available on that chemical, it brings it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did is I took every chemical in diesel, there's over 100 of them, and I ran them through Scorecard, and I collected the information. Every chemical in diesel is suspected, probable, or known to be carcinogenic. There are no good chemicals in diesel.
Mm-hmm. It is scorecard.org. Katrina just pulled it up here. And so you're saying there's nothing even benign in diesel exhaust? Every little element is either toxic and some of them are carcinogenic?
Suspected, probable, or known. And what has me concerned in my community is the work on chronic exposure to these chemicals has not been done, and it should be.
Mm-hmm.
This is acid vapor that we're breathing every day in my city. Not just my city, Los Angeles, Chicago, Atlanta, New York. Wherever you've got hubs,
yeah,
that's where you've got this kind of cancer and asthma going on with people. And with kids, it really affects them. Because they're smaller, the chemicals are so much larger to them. So when it goes into their lung, it's a lot bigger than it is when it goes into our lung.
Now, this may seem like a silly question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Most big rigs have a smokestack. And so the diesel exhaust is put out at somewhere between 10 and 15 feet above the ground level. Does that make any difference in terms of human exposure? Or is it just a little less annoying or a little less obvious?
Peter, one of the reasons why I wanted to come to this conference is to let people know that not only are these chemicals showing up in smog and ozone, in cancer and asthma, but because they also show up in smog, they show up in ozone, they show up in greenhouse gas, global warming, and climate change. So they're doing a lot of damage while they're getting out there. I'd like to see business do a better job. There are cleaner fuels that are out there. If we're going to achieve anything here, we have to get buy-in from business. We have to get buy-in from the transport industry to use cleaner fuels, because that way they still get to move their freight, business gets to get done, and it's healthier for all the communities.
Now, Leo, in California just last week, the Safeway grocery store chain announced that they are converting their fleet of the big rig delivery trucks to biodiesel. Now, on the face of it, that sounds really green and like an improvement, but I have no idea if we've conducted any toxicology tests on the mixture of biofuels, whether it's, you know, corn-based or switchgrass-based. I mean, I've been hearing about that. But is this an area that's been investigated, and what do we know?
Let me tell you what I've done. I also did the same thing with biodiesel. I ran all the chemicals in biodiesel through the Scorecard website. There's over 200, I think like 53 chemicals in biodiesel.
What was the count on regular diesel, the straight stuff?
122-ish, something like that.
So it's almost an extra 100, almost double.
Yeah. The good news is only 12 chemicals in biodiesel are suspected, probable, or known to be carcinogenic. They're referred to as the dirty dozen.
Mm-hmm.
The other group, the information comes back as chemical has not been rated, no data. Now, I don't know if that's I'm not a scientist or a doctor, but if they haven't heard of it yet or written about it yet, that might be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
If not, let's take a look at that and figure out what we got going on.
Yeah.
If there's a possibility for a cleaner fuel because the doctors and the scientists aren't saying this is bad stuff, that's another plus for it.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, when you grow biodiesel, you take all that heat off the planet because it's now involved in the plant and the photosynthesis. So you're doing a good thing by slowing down global warming, I think. I think. I'm not a scientist.
We think, yeah.
And you're doing a good thing by taking away the carcinogens out of the air. So I think it's good and good.
Leo Petrilli is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now tell us about the film Toxic Trespass.
The National Film Board of Canada took 6 years to make this film. It's based on border communities such as mine and another one such as Sarnia. And it's on children's health and how these chemicals that are released in industry, how these chemicals that are released in everyday lives are showing up. And it's quite a good film. It's shown in all the major cities in Canada. Last month we had a screening in Paris, France. So we're trying to get to Washington. We're trying to get to the United States. We've got a one-hour version of it, so it's available for PBS if they would like to come on. It's quite a good job. It's done quite a good job. The science in it is very, very good. One of the people that's in it with me is Dr. Deborah Lee Davis. Dr. Deborah Lee Davis is one of the premier epidemiologists in the world. She has just written a book called The Secret History of the War on Cancer. It's number 5 in Canada right now. And I'll quote from here, if you want to know why 1 in 3 Americans develops cancer, read this book. According to the National Cancer Institute and National Institute of Environment Health Sciences data, environmental factors cause between 80 and 90% of all cancers. And her information is stoic, and I wish the Washington media would get a hold of her. If you want to know why cancer is going on in the world, This is the lady that you ask.
Yeah. So do you know, is the film available like on DVD in the U.S.? Can people get a copy for screenings in local community centers or even in homes?
As of right now, I called the National Film Board before I came to this conference. We are almost done with the copyrights. In about a month, it's going to be available for the public to purchase.
Okay. And I see a website here for Canada's National Film Board. It's NFB, nationalfilmboard.ca. NFB.ca, so if you want to check there in about a month, you might get information on the DVD release of this film. Again, it's called Toxic Trespass. Now, Leo, what drew you into this? Do you have a child with asthma? Do you suffer from adverse effects from fouled air?
My father died of cancer, and I watched him pass. He had stomach cancer, throat cancer, and lung cancer. Basically, the last hour of his life, the air went in. It had nowhere to go, and it came right back out. And then my son was born with asthma. When he stays with me, he needs a puffer to breathe.
Sure.
When he's in his house, which is in the country, he never uses his puffer. Hmm. So as soon as he shows up with me within an hour, he's on the asthma puffer. But when he's home, he doesn't need it.
Yeah. And isn't it, I don't know about you, but watching a child struggle to breathe and knowing what has contributed to that condition, it's heart-wrenching. And when you see the incredible explosion of asthma among children, particularly in the United States over the last 15 years, it is stunning, and it's something that, you know, we give people puffers and other medications and say, well, we hope you grow out of it. But as a society, we don't have any sense of outrage and a desire to say, hey, clean this crap up. We don't need to live this way.
Children, most children that go to school, they ride buses, and buses are fueled by diesel. So we're exposing our children to diesel, and a lot of them idle while they're filling up. And the windows are open, and if it's in the summer, that's getting into the bus, and it's not going anywhere. So we're not doing as good a job as we should be protecting our children. And hopefully the film and shows like this and programs like this conference that's going on here will let the public know that there's problems that are out there and there's solutions that are out there. Collectively, we're going to hopefully get this solved. We need buy-in from all the players, mm-hmm. the public, the business, the health advocates, everybody.
Now, Leo, you went on the web and downloaded some text from a law in California, and you wanted to share some of this with us. It reads, a toxic tort is a personal injury or property damage caused by exposure to a toxic substance. The legal theory of strict liability often arises in toxic torts, negligence, trespass, nuisance, and other illegal theories that may apply to environmentally caused injuries and damage. What's your point?
There might be a law already in the United States on toxic substances. That might be it. I don't know. It might be in the courts in California right now.
Mm-hmm.
A toxic tort is a new term for me. I just picked that up and found it here. So I thought I'd bring it to Washington, and you know what? Laws are made here. So let's start talking toxic tort and see if we can get a federal toxic tort law, something like that.
All
California.
Right.
Bless California. They're 1,000 years ahead of everybody else. Senator Pelosi here today gave a great speech. I've got colleagues in California. I gave a presentation last month at in Los Angeles. They know diesel's a problem. We know diesel's a problem. Hopefully Washington will push forward a little more, and we can start to collectively heal.
Very good. Leo Petrilli, thanks for joining us. I appreciate your advocacy. And watch out, not all the buses in Washington are powered by natural gas. I hope one doesn't run into you.
Thank you very much, Peter.
We'll take a break and return to meet the Frost family right here, live from Washington, D.C. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Thank you.
ice and rain causing slippery conditions in the Santa Cruz Mountains. So I'll tell you about it. Slippery road conditions there. CHP has activated the overhead sign to warn approaching motorists that the roadway has ice and rain. Scotts Valley northbound 17 after Granite Creek Road. We have an injury crash. An overturned van is clear to the right shoulder. Emergency crew is still on scene. Campbell northbound 17 after Hamilton. Munda Cable in the two right lanes. Santa Cruz Mountains westbound Bear Creek Road closed between Gist and 35 still. Pickup truck and a car head on. A tree and power lines down in the lanes as well. Emergency crew is on scene. Hollister, Cienega at Limekiln. It's an injury crash. A vehicle down the embankment. A tow truck there. And Santa Cruz County, Highway 35 shut down from Santa Cruz County line to Highway 9 due to snow and ice. New triple-edge silicone wiper blades won't wear out or crack from extreme weather like ordinary rubber blades. They're guaranteed for as long as you own your car. Pick a pair up at Walmart today. That's traffic on KRXA.
Do you have difficulty sleeping? Are aches and pains keeping you up at night? The Amethyst Biomat is a heated healing mat that you lie on to relax, energize, detoxify, alkalize, eliminate pain, depression, insomnia, and improve your body, your mind, and your spirit. It is simple, safe, and effective to use in your bed or massage table. Comes in five sizes and is used by individuals and alternative holistic practitioners worldwide. Imagine doing nothing and achieving everything. Call Rachel at 1-888-337-7262 or visit amethystbiomat.com. That's AmethystBiomat.com. And start sleeping tonight. That's 1-888-337-7262 for Rachel or browse to amethystbiomat.com and get the good night's sleep you deserve.
I have always said that I will listen to the requests of our commanders on the ground.
Mr. President, you did not listen. You continue to pursue a failed strategy that is breaking our great Army and Marine Corps. I left the Army in protest in order to speak out. Mr. President, you have placed our nation in peril. Our only hope is that Congress will act now to protect our fighting men and women.
George Chavez of Chavez Jewelry Design specializes in recycling and restoring old jewelry, whether it's old broken jewelry or simply an item which no longer suits you. George invites you to actively participate in the creative process and to personally direct the creation of that special piece of jewelry that is truly and uniquely you. You'll find George weekdays 11 to 7 at Chavez Jewelry Design, 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville. Questions? Give George a call at 768-8004. That's 768-8004.
Families USA has convened here in Washington, D.C., and we're joined now by the Frost family from Baltimore, Maryland. And you may recall last fall in 2007, they went public with their own personal story of the family auto accident that left two of their children badly injured. And without SCHIP, the state children's health insurance program, this family would not have been able to carry on and survive financially and perhaps otherwise this important incident. Halsey Frost, welcome to our program. What did it feel like to be on the receiving end of attacks from Rush Limbaugh and Michelle Malkin and other low life forms?
That's a dubious distinction.
Talk right into that,
certainly,
please.
Certainly, I guess. I guess to be the subject of or their target to help bolster their agenda, whatever that may be, and it noticeably failed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's.
But did you feel like they were going through your garbage and people were judging you and Michelle Malkin drove by your house and did a snap judgment on how rich you are and why you shouldn't be on the dole?
Yes. I think that it's... I can't even think of it. It was definitely an invasion that came over, and I still would do it again.
Yeah.
I would know some things to look out for, but... Certainly, you know, when you were subject of attack, you then start rethinking your day
right. And
rethinking how you deal with situations.
Mm-hmm.
But we had nothing to hide from. We didn't ever feel that this was something we were trying to put one over on anybody.
Right.
And I think it was a good example of why more Americans should have more courage to stand up and stand up for what they believe in mm-hmm. is right.
And Bonnie, how did it feel for you when these reporters with the hairdos and the satellite trucks surround your house? I mean, did you feel like you were under siege?
In a way, yes. I ended up not answering the door every time somebody knocked on the door. I didn't answer the phone every time the phone rang.
Mm-hmm.
And I was protective of my family. It definitely felt invasive.
And did you feel that you needed to take special precautions with the kids? I mean, even back and forth to school, that Michelle Malkin could be trolling for them, trying to find out, you know, if they had two sodas instead of one?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe a bit, but not so much. I felt like we're a pretty close family, and we do a lot together anyway. And
yeah.
I felt like, you know, whatever would come up would be together and would be able to take
mm-hmm.
good care of ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Now, Max, can you step forward for a second? I see you have your arm in a sling, and they told us that you had to make a trip to the emergency room recently.
Well, I was wrestling, and I got thrown on the ground.
Yeah. And so this is, again, a case where the health insurance that your family couldn't afford, if it were not for this federal program, that kicked in again so that you could see a doctor, and they decided your arm wasn't broken, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
I was actually really lucky. We were supposed to come here around, like, 3, like, after 4 or something, and I went to the hospital, and there's more than, like, 15 people waiting.
Right.
And they put me in first for some reason.
Uh-huh.
And they got me a doctor right away, and everything was actually really quick.
Now, is that because you're a Frost and your reputation now precedes you, and they say, stat, got to take care of the Frost?
Well, maybe they actually knew we had insurance.
Oh, because you had insurance, yeah. Now, Graham, can you lean in here, too? This is a family affair. We only have one microphone. But, Graham, you're the one who was tapped to give that response to the President's weekly radio address, and we were cheering for you. I'm a radio guy, and when I heard you give that speech, it was just, yeah! How did it feel for you?
Well, it was pretty fun.
Yeah?
And that was during the conference, you know, and whatnot. The actual radio address, like, it's a lot harder than people think. I think it took about 20 takes on the whole thing.
Right. But, you know, for radio, we don't have to worry about hair, makeup, clothing. It's just you and the microphone.
Yeah. This was easier because it wasn't live. It was just a recording.
Right. So. Yeah. And, Graham, what is it like to... We heard you trading quips. He wasn't here, but with the President of the United States today. And I think that that's a pretty remarkable thing, that a young man like you understands the picture, understands the issue, knows what the president has done here, and is willing to tweak him in public. I like that.
I don't like him.
You don't like him? Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Well, just another year to go, and then we don't know who we'll end up with, but at least we know it won't be Bush. Yeah.
I think it's sad.
Oh, we got to bring the microphone over here. Go ahead, Halsey.
It's sad about the character of a man who did not personally respond to Graham. The White House sent a letter back that was more cut form. And I think Graham, as well as the many other children in this country who are on SCHIP or who need SCHIP coverage, deserve a more upfront just response from him as to why.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's ugly. And, you know, one of the issues in the background that they don't talk about is that this president has vetoed it because he doesn't like the funding mechanism, which is a tobacco tax.
Right.
And he won't talk about that. He talks about it as if this is going to bust the budget while he, you know, demands more blank checks for Iraq and almost unlimited spending. They're going to pass a stimulus package now that is not paid for by, you know, offsets. And yet, you know, he singles out this program for the veto pen, and it's misguided, it's ugly, and I'm really glad as a family that you stood up and said, we're proud of this program, we need this program, and we want more American families to be covered by it.
Absolutely.
I want to thank you for your courage. Thanks for joining us here today. It's the Frost family from Baltimore. Hope to see you again.
Thank you.
All right. Great to talk with you. Thanks for joining us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're live from Washington, D.C. We'll do it again tomorrow from the Families USA Healthcare Conference. I want to thank the great team here that has helped us put this on, Dave Lemon, Candy Stroud, Lovisa Frost, my great producer, Katrina Rill, and Brian Urban, keeping it all dialed in back at the studio in the Bay Area. We'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same great radio stations, for another live broadcast from Washington on the Peter B. Collins Show. Grab the podcast at peterbcollins.com.
We're talking again with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, I just gave you a nice little chocolate raspberry treat. Can I drink wine and eat chocolate at the same time? Is there a rule against that? Is there a law in France that says I can't?
No, on the, to the contrary. My girlfriends and I sometimes get together and have a treat of chocolate with one absolutely scrumptious wine that we have, which is called Cartagène, which is, again, a something that people make in the south of France. Pretty much for the family, it's a treat, and they pull it out when you go visit them. You know how farmers are and people are close to the land, and they pull out the thing that they've made and they've kept in their cellar, and the foie gras and the special sausage and all this, and they sit around and they share this little treat with them. It's like communion.
Find out more about organic wines at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. Order by phone toll-free at 888-ECO-WINE. Mention Peter B. Collins and see what...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. We're going to get a check.
Who wouldn't like a check in the mail?
Which is exactly how architects of this economic stimulus package are hoping we'll react. CBS's Bob Fuss dissects the package.
The compromise proposes a $150 billion package, a third for business tax cuts to spur investment, the rest for direct rebates. Checks of $1,200 for most middle-class couples, even more if they have children. Low-income workers who don't pay income tax will collect two, says House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
We do believe that there's some speed in this approach that we are taking, and this is the fastest way to get this money into the hands of the American people.
With the idea being that if they spend it, that will spur the economy and either prevent or minimize a feared recession. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Latest word from Washington, those rebate checks are expected to go out in June. The next 90 minutes loom large for Republican candidates for presidents. We're live with CBS's Peter King in Florida.
Well, Jim, to say tonight's GOP debate is important would be an understatement.
Without a doubt, whoever wins Florida is most likely going to become the party's nominee.
State Republican Chair Jim Greer.
Conversation on February 5th will be what did Florida do last Tuesday.
February 5th, of course, is Super Tuesday, but this Tuesday it's Florida's 57 delegates up for grabs. It's the biggest prize so far this primary season. As this debate starts, it's one last chance for Florida voters to comparison shop and see all the candidates go head-to-head. Live at Florida Atlantic University, I'm Peter King, CBS News.
And just into CBS News, the New York Times endorses Hillary Clinton for the Democratic nomination and John McCain as the Republican nominee. McCain also endorsed by actor Sylvester Stallone today at a press conference in West Palm Beach, Florida. McCain had some fighting words for the tough guy in Mike Huckabee's corner. He said, look out, Chuck Norris, Sylvester Stallone is coming for you. Official charges lodged today against the missing Marine corporal wanted in the murder of a pregnant comrade.
Today, the grand jury of Onslow County has returned five true bills of indictment against Cesar Armando Lauren involving the death of Maria Frances Laudenbach.
Cesar Lauren is believed to be in his native Mexico. North Carolina prosecutor Dewey Hudson says they have agreed to waive the death penalty if he is found there. Otherwise, Mexico would likely refuse extradition. The birth control pill controversy still